Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, we have an incredible interview with Bert Kreischer, comedian, raconteur. He's got a new movie coming out soon. Awesome dude. We talked to him in LA in person. Highly, highly recommend listening to this one because it is very, very good. We also have Coach K's farewell tour, which was one of my favorite nights of basketball ever. We will recap that. We will do Who's Back of the Week. We have a little Monday reading for you, a great show for everyone on a Monday. And we are brought to you by our friends. Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started.
It's Part of My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Part of My Take, presented by Coors Light. Go check them out right now, CoorsLight.com/take. Today is Monday, March 7th, and the Coach K farewell to Cameron game was one of the best games I've ever watched in my entire life.
$5,000 a ticket to get in. I'd say it was well worth it for all the alum that were there. I think every person who's ever played or been suspended by Coach K showed up for that game. It was a touching farewell.
I took some notes because this was so much fun. I had such a good time. And Hank, I want to hear from you. Just so you know, PFT Hank did bet UNC plus 11. And also Moneyline. I want to hear from Hank.
No, I didn't. No,
I want to hear from Hank, but I want to just go through the
Lies.
Timeline real quick.
Fact or fiction? Fiction.
Because this is like, this is my favorite game ever. I was tickled to no end. I was watching the post game ceremony with a pint of Ben and Jerry's. Everything about last night was spectacular. So let's just go through the timeline of events real quick. Hop in whenever you want, Hank and PFT. Go ahead. Okay, if I'm wrong about anything, well, let's start. April 1st, Roy Williams retires.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of the day, no, like, hey, what's going on? Roy Williams retiring? Really?
The right way.
Gracefully walks off. Exit stage left, what most coaches do, because when you think about it, there's not a lot of coaches that take retirement tours. They usually just, like Bob Knight didn't take a retirement tour from Indiana. He gracefully departed.
Exactly, yes. He went off into the sunset with class.
Right, exactly.
Coach Roy Williams did the same.
Woody Hayes?
Many people would say that Coach Roy Williams has a better resume in the state of North Carolina than Coach K does.
Well, at least in terms of exits, he does. So, all right, so that was April 1st. June 3rd. Now, I think, Jake, real quick, when does college basketball start?
College basketball starts the second week of November.
Okay, so June 3rd. All right, so that's a lot of months in between June 3rd and November. All right, so June 3rd, Coach K announces that he is going to retire after this last season. A retirement tour is officially on. If you remember, we had the Every Time We Touch video where everyone was clapping. It was awkward. He's like, listen, I'm going to retire this year. I don't want to make it about myself, guys, but I'm giving you 6 months to prepare all your gifts and dick sucking for this retirement tour that we're going to embark on.
Yep, and word on the street was that Coach K was a little bit miffed that on their last trip to Chapel Hill, the Tar Heels didn't do anything nice for him.
I have that. I have that. So that's coming with the handshakes for tonight. So,
yeah, because the handshake line.
Yeah. No, we have that coming. Don't worry. That's absolutely coming. So Coach K said, I didn't stay because I wanted a farewell tour. I stayed because I wanted to coach one more year. He could have easily coached one more year without being an egomaniac and making it all about Coach K. But he didn't want the farewell tour. He just wanted to tell everyone in June that it was the farewell tour.
Well, he needed 6 months to make sure that Tommy Amaker did not get the job.
Yes, right, exactly. So he also said, this was actually a few weeks ago, he said, hey, it's not look at me, it's my last game. I'm not going to do that. I'm sure it will be emotional, but it's going to be about the team. Always, 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 always. It's always about the team. It's not about Coach K. And then he also said, this last past year has been like a celebration of our program. But because I'm stopping coaching, it's been a celebration of me, and I don't like that.
Mm.
So he actually is very uncomfortable with the fact that everyone's making it about Coach K.
There should have been a way for him to announce that this was his last year and that there would be a retirement tour that was stopping across the country without making him the focus of his own retirement tour.
Every school along the way gave gifts. He said it was uncomfortable.
It's the media that's doing this to Coach K.
Yes.
Obviously, Coach K does not want the focus on him. He wants it on the players.
Right.
He wants it on the program, the team.
Always, 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 always. For always. Yep. So, all right, so we're flash forwarded to last night where the week has been about Coach K. ESPN had, what, like 6 different streams ready to go. Everyone was doing their tributes. And then we get to the game, and Kansas and Texas go to overtime, so they can't. Everyone has to watch the ACC Network or the ESPN app for Coach K's big moment. There's something beautiful about Kansas, a true blue blood in my eyes, taking away from Duke there. I loved it. That game was fantastic. It was a fantastic game to watch. This is March, truly. Hank was watching. He was so happy to be watching it.
Well, also, Kansas has a coach that knows how to age gracefully as well. A guy that is confident in his own looks, in his own hair. He doesn't need to go out there and make any adjustments to it.
No dying.
To pretend that he looks younger.
Yep. So before the game started, the Duke basketball account tweeted out bragging it was the most expensive college basketball ticket ever. Average price was $5,307. Kids obviously camping out for months for this ticket.
Is that a brag or just a fact?
Well, it's kind of a brag, right? Because Roy Williams' last ticket wasn't that expensive because he gracefully left.
I don't get where the brag is. That's just a statement of fact.
It's kind of a brag.
We're the number we're the number one sports podcast. A brag or just a fact?
You just said that.
So now you're fighting us.
I'm just trying to give you context.
Okay, it's just a fact that me and Big Cat get paid $101,000 per episode.
Yes,
that's not a brag.
Yes,
okay.
Because we have to report that as public information to the IRS.
Correct.
Duke is a private university. They don't have to report that.
Yes. So all right. So good interjection, Hank. You're right. It wasn't a brag. It was a statement of fact.
Thank you.
All right. All Duke legends came back for this game. You saw Carlos Boozer, J.J. Redick, Christian Laettner, Jerry Seinfeld, Kyler Murray, T.O., all the guys that went to Duke came back for Coach K. The pressure, I think I especially love that they all were wearing the Coach K logo, like he had just died, when they do the patch, when the owner of a team dies and they make a patch.
I actually do think that Duke should be allowed to wear the black stripe across one of their sleeves next year in remembrance of Coach K's past.
Yes.
And wait, was LeBron there? No, LeBron was busy. That's unfortunate.
Yeah,
I feel like he would have been there. I feel like LeBron would have been there if he was able to get away.
Side note, Hank had a hell of a night because I was thinking about it. Like a lot of people, it would seem like they either hate Duke and hate LeBron, or they love Duke and love LeBron. Hank has the love Duke, hate LeBron. So right after the game, LeBron dropped a 50 burger right in everyone's face on ABC. All right, back to the game though. Back to the game. So Duke is an 11-point favorite. They basically didn't even talk about UNC playing in the game. Like UNC was just a participant in Coach K's farewell game. Duke is an 11-point favorite. They beat UNC by 20 earlier this year. They had to have killed them, right, PFT?
Absolutely. So I even took the alternate. I said that Duke was going to win by between, I think it was 15 and 21 points.
Mm.
Didn't even look at the game after that. I was like, okay, this is money in the bank.
Yep, yep.
Haven't checked my statement. I'm sure it hit, though.
Mm. Oh. Jake, do you have the final score?
I believe it was 94-81.
Ooh. Duke won 94-81?
You would think.
Yeah.
No, North Carolina.
Oh, no. Well, oh, no.
Game, to be fair, this game should have been played under protest. they didn't do a handshake line before the game like Duke had requested that they do. They wanted double handshake line, or at least they didn't want the handshake line at the end of the game after the game was over to interfere with the Coach K ceremony.
Correct.
So UNC respectfully declined to do the pregame handshake line, and instead now there's some like blow-by footage of some of the coaches after the fact. I thought that Coach K was gracious as always.
Well, so they lost.
They lose. But you lose games sometimes.
Yeah, you lose games to your bitter rival. Some may say he was putting a lot of pressure on his kids, like having this all about him, and like you can't lose Coach K's last game at Cameron, and you have 80 NBA guys watching, and all the stars are out. They lose, and then the post game celebration. Oh, let me back up. The shots of the kids with like their Sesame Street costumes, crying and face paint. That was just delicious.
It was wonderful.
Delicious.
When Coach K gets on the mic, and the first thing that he does in his like acknowledgement to the fans as he tells everybody to shut the fuck up.
Scolds him as only Coach K could.
That's the best though. I love that. I would rather have it no other way than for Coach K to get up there and do what Coach K does.
Impromptu.
And he scolds the fans for being too loud during his retirement ceremony.
He scolds them, and then there was a montage video that Coach K did the voiceover for, which I don't think I've ever seen that been done. That was incredible. It was essentially a funeral for the guy where he got to back to similar to Curb, where he's just doing a living funeral for himself.
We don't make jokes about that, though.
Yeah.
I also feel like I specifically remember some Coach Doug's montages with Coach Doug's voiceovers, but...
I said I did the voiceover?
Yeah, well,
myself?
The thing is...
Personally?
One of those,
I don't think I did... I never did a voiceover.
One of those...
Find the footage.
Is a video game character that Big Cat made up, and the other is maybe the most famous college basketball coach of all time.
Mm-hmm. Find the voiceover.
Someone said Coach Doug's is the most famous college football coach in the internet world.
And he didn't do a retirement tour. People are asking for one more year. Retirement tour doesn't give it to him. Because sometimes it's better to just not make it about yourself and not invite all the legends back like, I forget all the guys' names.
Rico Bergerton.
Rico Bergerton, JoJo Smalls, et cetera, et cetera. All right, back to Coach K. Don't deflect us. Don't divert us here, Hank. They also gave him a bench, which was great because Coach K was sitting there seething in anger as the AD or president, I don't know who it was, just like, you know, we talked about bachelor or wedding speeches. He was the dude that's like, come on, man, like get off the stage. Gave him a bench. People were like, they only gave him a bench. Well, how many things can you name after him? Because they already named the court after him while he was still coaching.
There's an entire shantytown outside the stadium named after him.
Right. Like, I mean, they eventually, they're running out of things to name after Coach K.
I like the bench, though, to honor the location where some of his best grandchildren sit.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, his grandchildren came out. That was actually a nice moment. I'll have my cynical side stop for a minute and say that it was nice that Coach K had his entire family there. But yeah, it was the
very,
best
that's,
night.
That's very big of you.
Yeah,
big
that
cat.
Was
like,
big. Some
you know, at the end of the day, you know, coming as a non-Duke fan in peace, it's nice that Coach K's family loves him.
Right.
That's
and
good.
We said it before. He wants to retire to spend time with his kids who are all like 60 plus and his grandkids who are all like 30.
Or in jail.
Yeah. It was a great night. It was a fantastic night. It was so funny. It was off the charts funny. I loved every second of it. And of course, Duke fans will be in my mentions tomorrow being like, you're salty. Yes, I am. You hate Duke because they're really good. Yes, I do. All these things I admit openly, but there's nothing better in sports than hating something and having a night like last night. It was like all the hate would like cashed in last night for everyone who doesn't like Duke or Coach K. That was just the best night possible.
Real talk, though. I'm going to miss Coach K.
Yeah,
I'm gonna miss having this guy around. It's the old who's the bad guy thing.
Right.
It's good to have an enemy that we can all unite behind, that we can all laugh at, that occasionally makes us look like idiots. He was good for college basketball. I'm going to miss having the most hateable guy around.
And I don't hate John Shire. That's the problem. I'm sure I will eventually,
but
I don't.
You'll grow to hate him for sure, but he's no Coach K. It's not going to be the same. I actually think I think he chose the right time to retire.
Yeah.
I feel like last night's game told you everything you need to know. He'd be on the hot seat. I'm putting Coach K on the hot seat right now because of that performance. I think he'd be fired at the end of this year, even if he didn't retire.
Also, I'm just going to throw this out there. Maybe a chance that he goes and coaches the Lakers next year? Why not? LeBron needs a coach. LeBron basically went to Duke. Wouldn't that be great?
LeBron did say he was his favorite coach he's ever had.
So, like, he had him. He basically is like, my favorite teacher ever is my summer camp teacher. Like that, like he got to hang out with him in the summer and win gold medals. Mm-hmm. What are you gonna say, Jake?
I have one thing. Did the Duke Athletic Department not remotely consider doing the ceremony pregame and thought this would be awkward if they lost?
Oh, no, they did do a ceremony pregame. They did a ceremony pregame, yeah. Postgame, all week. It's not about Coach K, though.
But
it's not about Coach K. And the awkward part is it's not his last game. He still has an ACC tournament to play. And
last home game.
I understand.
It sounds like you don't.
No, I do. I get it.
It was the last time he was at home in front of his home fans.
That's a shame.
But I feel like if
they
did everything pregame, it would have been fine. Like,
should they do senior night after they lose?
No. Oh, were there any seniors on the team? Imagine being a senior on Duke this year.
Yeah, I don't think.
You don't have a senior night.
Did they have like the moms come out with the roses?
No way.
I don't think so. I think Coach K probably just escorted all of them across.
He just fucked all the moms. It was like, that's your senior night, boys. You might have a younger brother related to Coach K.
Joey Baker. Theo John. He had some dirty plays.
Poor Theo John and Joey Baker.
Theo John tackled the guy, right?
I know. He should have been kicked out of the game. Hank, go ahead.
Yeah, just maybe one more date. You kind of started with Roy Williams, but I think the key date in all of this is April 6th, 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Duke 68, Wisconsin Badgers 63, national championship. If there's anyone wondering, like, why is Big Cat such a hard ass and psychopath against Coach K, that is the real date. That matters. I don't think so.
That's kind of fair, but also, like, it's Coach K that we're talking about. Yeah. Like, Coach K is universally hated.
He's won our country gold medal.
I hated Duke before that. And people were like, how can you hate Duke?
The guy before him didn't.
Yeah, but people were like, how can you hate Duke? How can you hate the Yankees? How can you hate Alabama football? How can you hate
but
the
you
Cowboys?
Don't be, like, if,
but
if,
I don't like Duke. I don't like Duke. I've never liked Duke. Yes, my hatred went nuclear in 2015. 100%. I am salty about that till the day I die. You're just saying things I've said myself.
Well, you didn't start it though. You started it with Roy Williams.
Yeah, okay.
It really starts 2015.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
I've seen you do this, come in early and take notes for two people, Aaron Rodgers and Coach K. That's not the same as the Yankees, Alabama.
Like, page of notes. Yeah. Listen, hating in sports is just as fun as loving.
I agree.
It's the best. It was so much fun. That was actually, you know what? Hank, you're right. I'm going to thank Coach K because he made last night about us, the haters. It was a night for the haters. It really was. It was the perfect night for the haters.
They also have Bates Jones, the younger brother of Daniel Jones.
Oh,
really?
New York Giants.
Damn. And he had senior night cucked?
Yeah.
That's brutal.
Graduate student.
Hank, give me your thoughts so for real on the game, because you have to admit, like, his legacy is completely shot now.
I mean, I do feel that's definitely not true whatsoever. They still have a tournament.
That's what everyone's going to remember about Coach K.
Unless they win it all.
Senior
that's the only way.
Listen, these players are under a lot of pressure, a lot of scrutiny. It's not like a normal college program where they're you know, a highly ranked team going to the tournament. They're highly ranked, and they have all the world watching them, expecting them to win one last championship for Coach K. And last night was a lot of pressure. They had everyone watching. They probably caved to that pressure, weren't able to handle it. And the only, you know, takeaway that's good is that they felt that. They felt that pain. They now know, you know, what they need to do in the ACC tournament and the NCAA tournament to win. So hopefully that's a good takeaway. Other than that, though, it was a disaster. That's why I did bet Carolina plus 11. We talked about it. Carolina needed the win. They had nothing to lose. Duke players had everything to lose. You kind of saw it at the end of the game where it's like they got it was kind of close, and then Carolina just blew them out of the water. Like, it was ugly. It was an ugly, ugly, ugly loss.
Beautiful.
But yeah, Coach K is still a legend. Greatest ever do it.
Also, afterwards, it was like, yeah, but we won the regular season. Who does that? Who celebrates regular season titles? Fucking loser talk.
They didn't have any bloggers on the court.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even...
Let's address this right now because we're not going to retape, but Wisconsin might lose to Nebraska. And if they do, they still win a share of the Big Ten, or maybe even outright if Iowa beats Illinois tonight. It's fine. I'm just going to have some PS5s I'm going to give away on Twitter.
It would have been very funny if they invited Hank down onto the court like Big Cat got invited for Wisconsin to give a speech at the end of it.
Yeah.
Our most notable
alumni. And
he'd
be like, I won money, plus 11, UNC.
It was also somewhat like, I felt bad for the players. They probably felt bad when Coach K was like, I would just like to say that was unacceptable. Like, they already felt bad when they had to come out on the court. And then he basically like shit on them. in front of everyone to make them feel worse.
No, there's like a Coach K's job is not over yet. So he's probably going to do some crazy Coach K things this week and next week to motivate his teams. He probably won't even let them practice. Ugh. He's like, you're not worthy of being in the arena that bears my name.
Didn't he also say, he said the UNC, what's their player, Bacot?
I always Bacot. Said, Bacot.
Was the ACC player of the year. Just like a total fuck you to Paolo. I mean, it's he's got to motivate them. He's got to keep, but it was an impossible spot for them. They had like half of the NBA watching as they had the most pressure. You can't lose this game, Coach K. Ceremonies upon ceremonies, routines all out of shot. It's not about Coach K, but it is about Coach K, but it's not about Coach K, and then they choked.
I'll bet you Coach K is going to continue to go to games and probably sit like right behind the bench.
Yes.
Like he's going to be coaching from the stands next year.
He's also going to absolutely try to coach another game at some point.
Mm-hmm.
You know he will. He's going to be like the Champions Classic. He's going to, you know, the first game, like I wouldn't be shocked if the first game of the year next year he's like, "Listen, John Shire, it's your program, but I want to coach against Cal, my buddy, one last time. Come on."
You know what they should do? They should take all the old coaches that have retired that are iconic and symbols of their university and just have them coach the Maui tournament every year.
Yeah.
Just like put on the Hawaiian shirts. You're basically retired.
Bobby Knight.
Have Bobby Knight go out there, try to punch a ref one last time.
It was a great night of college basketball. Why couldn't he have gone out like Jim Boeheim, who's going out, you know, starting all of his sons and being under 500 and choking games away? That would have been nice.
It's going to be the first time ever, unless they win two games this week, that they're under 500. With
turns
him.
Out, sir. First and time we like ever. The Boeheims, but we like Buddy and Jimmy. Wow. But
AWLs.
That was bad. That was a bad game.
Yeah, they blew it.
Has college basketball caught up to the zone? Well, no, I don't think so. But maybe if like 60% of your starting lineup is related to you, that might be a problem.
Yeah. I do think, though, PFT, I'm going to miss Coach K, not only because he's a heel. He's a great heel. Like, one of the all-time, if you don't like Duke, and I think a lot of people don't, he's so perfect to hate. And also, we're going to lose, I feel like we're losing a little bit of an era, because when Jim Boeheim, goes out to pasture, Rick Pitino, who knows where he's going to go next, Cal, like, the era of these college coaches that are bigger than life feels like they're it's dying a little bit. Like the guys we have right now are not old school legends.
Tom Izzo is the other one too.
Tom Izzo, but like even like Mark Few or like Chris Beard or I don't know, Tony Bennett. Like these guys aren't, they're great coaches, but they're not like these titans that feel like they're hovering over everything.
Rick Barnes, to a certain extent, he's just been around for a while.
Right, they're not.
You're right. It's not the coach. Coach K is college basketball.
He is Duke. He gave the program back to Duke. By the way, he said it's been mine for 42 years, but now it's theirs. So that was his parting gift. He got a bench, and then in return, he gave Duke its program back.
That's very nice of him.
Yes.
Where does one put a bench? How do you get that bench home?
I'd assume it's. Wait, did he get a bench, or did the bench get named after him?
I'll double check.
I think it's the Coach K bench at the Coach K court at Cameron Indoor.
I'm just going to say, like, if anybody here ever thinks about getting me a bench for an occasion, just pass. Just go to option B on that one. I got enough benches.
Okay.
Benches ain't shit.
Shit. I got to return that thing. All right. What else we got? What else? I mean, that was, I'm seriously, I woke up so happy today. It's just so much fun. I love sports.
It did feel like it was the end of an era, not just for Coach K, but it's like,
is there any
for those of us that grew up watching those old college basketball coaches, it's like, okay, I remember when Shaq retired, that's when I really felt old for the first time as a sports fan. Coach K's retirement definitely makes me feel old.
Yes. What were you going to say, Hank?
Jake, what are the chances that Duke and Wisconsin are in the same bracket?
One would have to be a 2 and a 3, if they both win their conference tournament, there's a chance both could be a 1. Slim, but
is Coach unlikely. K? I mean, Coach K is just going to get. He's going to request to just be in the Final Four.
I think automatic
probably
buy.
Let him. Yeah, right.
He's already picking his stadium and the time of day that his game tips off at.
Why, Hank? You want a shot? You want another shot?
Yeah.
I mean, that's fine.
Could I be in the Final Four
again? I am. I've explained my hate. It's all out there. I'm not winning titles. I'm obviously there's jealousy involved. There's hatred because they're just good, and every year they've been good for my entire life. None of this is like new. How can you call yourself a sports fan if you don't hate the team that dominates, right? Like, you have to.
Well, the thing is,
you have to hate the team on the top.
I think that Coach K is kind of like Patriots adjacent, just in the fact that he's been so good for so long, and he goes about it in kind of like a Belichickian prickly type way. I think Hank has no choice but to respect Coach K for that.
Yeah,
they presented it reminds him
too much
bench.
Of his own excellence.
Okay, he got a bench. He just got a bench. He could be he's basically with the Washington football team now. No,
Dallas
Cowboys
brought it up. Yeah, we're bringing benches to stadiums. So is it heated?
Did Johnny Davis just get hurt while I was doing that whole thing?
He got fouled.
I know, and
he got fouled pretty hard.
Like, kind of bumped his knee pretty bad.
You know what else was great about Saturday night? It was like back to back. You had
Trey McGowan's ejected for a flagrant two on Johnny Davis.
Yeah, but I don't know if he got hurt. So, but go ahead.
But Saturday night, back to back, you had Coach K and everybody getting to laugh at Coach K's last game, and then the other thing that could only unite most of America, besides watching Coach K get dunked on, Greg Hardy getting the shit kicked out of him.
Yes,
I love that. Everyone can get behind that. It was a night of seeing the bad guys lose.
Yeah, it was. If LeBron had like lost by 30 to the Warriors, it would have been the perfect night.
And Poon had gotten assassinated.
Yes, everything would have just would have come up here. But yeah, it was a hell of a night. And you're right, Greg Hardy. Although I think Dana White, like, his contract is up. He's got to keep him, right?
It's one
just
of those
so
things
that we
where,
can hate.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I think even Dana White is like, this guy is such a piece of shit that I don't want to pay him.
Yeah.
Even though he puts butts in seats. That's what happened. Like, Dana White on the way up, he would a million times out of a million take a guy like Greg Hardy and make him, like, the focus of multiple pay-per-views.
Right.
And just to get the money. But now that Dana White's got fuck you money, I'd actually argue that Dana White with fuck you money is a very dangerous thing.
Yes.
But in this case, Dana's just like, you know what? I don't need that guy. Not going to pay him. He's a scumbag.
Yeah. Anything else from Saturday or that we missed this weekend, Jake? Best time of the year again.
Best time of the year.
Yep.
We've got three teams with their tickets punched.
You want to list them for us?
One of them is ongoing, but we've got Murray State out of the Ohio Valley Conference. We've got Longwood making their first ever appearance out of the Big South.
Bonk.
And then we've either got Loyola Chicago or Drake. Just started the second half of Arch Madness, Missouri Valley.
This is Marsh.
I love Arch Madness. It's the best.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's a great tournament. All right. So anything else?
So a mini Who's Back is Sister Jean. Even if they lose, they have a chance for that.
Sister Jean is back.
So
there's no way she's
still alive.
They showed her yesterday. No, this is like the Queen of England thing. They replaced her with a different Sister Jean.
She's gonna live.
She's still
forever. Forever.
Yeah. So they might get it even if they lose. But
yeah. Okay, let's do Who's Back of the Week, and then we will have our interview with Bert Kreischer. Great interview, awesome interview, highly recommend it.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, Henry.
Daniel.
Henry.
This is a risky Who's Back by me because it's currently a tied game with 3:14 left. But either way, Celtics are back. They had some trouble early in the year. They were blowing a lot of fourth quarter leads. They have fully figured it out. Their defense is unbelievable. I think right now they're second in the league defensively, soon to be first. Are up. Yeah, LeBron dropped like 55 on the Warriors last night, and that almost pushed the Celtics into the top spot. But they're up one right now against the Nets. Either way, they're either going to want to have won 13 out of 15 or 12 out of 15. They're a legitimate contender. The Sixers are good. The Celtics are good. The Nets might be good. It's going to be exciting. You know, in the beginning of the year, I didn't think that the Celtics had a shot to win the East. Now I do. And the Cavs are good in the Central Division.
Balls?
Did you see
and the Bucks?
Did you see what happened to Big Baby at courtside?
I did. Big Baby.
That was funny.
A fall from grace.
That was very funny.
The past few years. Big Baby was courtside, and they cut to him during the game right as the usher was kicking him out of his seat.
Yeah. It was great.
That is very
funny.
It was
a tough scene.
That is very
tough
funny.
Tough scene for Big Babe.
You're going to mention the Bulls? They can't beat anyone good.
No.
It's actually really bad.
Yeah, and I'm Cavs.
Maybe they won't have to play anyone good in the playoffs.
I need the Bulls and Bucks to, you know, eat each other live and the Cavs to win the Central Division.
So where do we sit? Are we like all the way back in on the Celtics? You don't think that they need to blow it up? You don't think they need to trade anybody this offseason?
No, all the way back in. They're really, really good. They're playing really well. Defensively, they're unbelievable. I think you know, the Sixers would be favored in a playoff series, but it would be exciting.
Is it finals or bust?
I would say finals or bust. It's you know, you can make the finals, though. It's not bust. It's not like if we don't make the finals, blow the team up. But
the East is going to be.
It's the first year of a new coach.
Yeah,
and they're in first place.
Yeah, the East is going to be very, very fun. I mean, you versus the Sixers would be all time.
I know,
all time. Jake, can you find out about Johnny Davis? Because I don't know if he's on the bench. I'm starting to get very worried. Which would be like, wouldn't this just be if he like tore his ACL while I was doing my Duke rant?
Yeah. That would be some karma right there.
Jason Tatum, 49 points.
Some coach karma.
I'm starting to silently freak out. Okay, I'm happy for you, Hank.
Thanks.
And you still have Duke.
Yeah.
There's like Coach K said, there's still a lot of basketball left.
We got to figure out. I feel like we got to bring back LeBron Lockwood this postseason. If Duke wins a natty, will you get a cat?
Nah. I'm done with cat bets.
Okay.
Soft.
If you risk a cat as well, I'm not doing a cat bet unless you guys have something on the line too. Like you, that was you forced me into potentially getting a cat.
We kind of did strong arm you into the whole cat thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would have been funny. A little hyperallergenic cat, shaved cat.
Hairless
cat. Okay. PFT, your who's back?
My who's back of the week is Max Homa.
Yes.
Max Homa's back. Had an ace. Had a hole in one. Looked good doing it. Good celebration from Max.
Real tournament.
He figured out that you can't miss a 2-foot putt if you just hit it in on your first shot.
Mm-hmm.
So Max is all the way back. I love Max Homa. Max is good for golf, officially in my book.
Yes, absolutely. I was shocked. I was shocked that he was playing on Saturday.
Yep.
Because it is a real tournament. I dubbed it the fifth major, Arnold Palmer Classic. And I also, like, he... Credit to me, I like to make fun of Max. I didn't make fun of him when he hit that. I just asked if it was a real tournament, but it also, like, I saw it. Did you guys see it? It was like 11 a.m., so it tells you where he was on the leaderboard when he hit that. It was just like, oh, okay. He's playing. Oh, he's already on this hole. That was early.
Maybe it was a shotgun start.
Yeah, that's true.
That's probably what it
was. That's true. It definitely was. Weather. Inclement weather.
Yep. Weather delay.
Yep.
Yep. He was in the last group.
Yes.
Group of death. My other who's back of the week is shorts.
Yeah.
Shorts are back. It's like 65 degrees in New York. And
smells like golf.
I'm rocking shorts, baby. Shorts are back. But this is one of those fake shorts days where you just know next week it's going to be 29 degrees.
Yep.
And now I'm going to be all behind because once I mentally transition into shorts, I just don't go back.
Correct.
And so I'll get caught with... like wearing these shorts when it's freezing outside, looking like a fool walking down the street. You know the color that your legs get when it's really cold. It's like a bright red mixed with ashiness.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm going to be looking like next week. But I can't go back. I've officially made the mental transition. I'm a shorts guy now.
I have the reverse going on where I'm going to try to hold on to the sweatshirt weather for as long as possible. So probably the next 3 weeks will just be me sweating profusely because it's 70 degrees and I'm wearing a hoodie.
Yeah.
Being like, just hold on.
Well, what I'll do is I'll make the switch into shorts, but then I'll just compensate via my top as to what the actual weather is. So if it's like 29 degrees, I'll rock a puffer jacket, like a dead set winter jacket with shorts just because I refuse to go back from my waist down.
Yeah. All right. My who's back is combine numbers, crazy combine numbers. So we had Jordan Davis. Turns out Georgia was a good football team last year. Jordan Davis, 6'6", 341 pounds, running a 4.78 40. A 4.78 40. Now
he's pretty much a car.
It's crazy. The fastest defensive lineman 40 was Montez Sweat, who ran a 4.41 40. Montez Sweat is 80 pounds lighter than Jordan Davis.
That's still crazy fast for Montez Sweat.
But yeah, he's Jordan 80 Davis, pounds lighter.
Jordan Davis is basically, he's like a baby rhino.
Yeah.
Able to move that fast. It's insane what they're able to do. I remember, was it Dontari Poe that broke 5 seconds like 10 years ago?
Yeah.
And everybody freaked the fuck out?
Yeah.
This is terrifying.
It's terrifying. He's 6'6", 341. He ran a 4.78 40. Also, his teammate Trayvon Walker ran a 4.51 40. He's 272 pounds. It's... like, oh yeah, it turns out Georgia was really, really good, really fast, and really strong.
My favorite little drama inside the combine this year is they switched to a new timer. So in years past, doing the hand times,
it was Charlie Casserly.
Charlie Casserly was doing it, which is that's such a funny like old scout thing to have associated with. It's like, no, Charlie's the best at a stopwatch. He's the best stopwatch guy we got.
Yeah.
So they switched out, got a new guy in. Now all the unofficial times are just all over the map. It's not even that they're all faster or all slower. It's just a bad timer. Whoever's running the stopwatch this year, probably one and done.
I love the fact, though, Charlie Casserly being the stopwatch guy, which haven't they figured out how to do it without a stopwatch?
Yeah, there's lots of ways that they can do it. But I kind of like having a stopwatch guy.
But he's 74 years old. He's like, this guy's got the reflexes of a 25-year-old.
Of a mongoose.
He's ready to go.
There's that old bitch.
Yeah, Sister Jean. She got a little balloon.
Hank, bleep that out.
Bracelet.
I shouldn't call
a nun. Let your hate. Listen, this is the hate show.
I should be calling a nun a bitch.
If you want to do it, you can. Don't bleep it out. Leave it in.
That was hateful. I'll admit it. That one was hateful. As a fan of God, I should not be. As a man of God, I should not be saying that about Sister Jean.
She's
kind of a bitch, though.
She's similar to Coach K. Makes about herself.
That is not the original Sister Jean.
Yeah, it is.
That's not. No, it's not. She's been replaced.
A Dumbledore situation.
Yeah. Well, is she wearing? Is that a
Avril Lavigne?
Is that a Gryffindor scarf that she's wearing?
It's pretty similar pantones.
Yeah. I've never actually read the books.
All right, my other who's back is those. So the sticking on the combine real quick. It's hot in the streets now to have videos of players doing something really nice. So Malik Willis was the original QB prospect, probably going to be the first QB taken in the draft. He was videotaped. Now, this one I believe because it was videotaped. It was someone who was in a bar, and across the street they saw Malik Willis giving some of his clothes to a homeless person. The one that we saw today, where it was EJ Perry from Brown, shout out to Schwam. He was picking up trash after the combine workout, and it was like the woman who videotaped it was very close to him, and she wasn't picking up any trash. She was just watching him. Like she was probably like 25 feet away.
She said every piece of trash got picked up. I don't know how much trash that these guys normally produce at the combine. Like when you're waiting, you're just snacking. Just like putting away like Dunkaroos and drinking Allsport or whatever. But there were like all these plastic bottles, all these wrappers. He was picking it all up. He knew that the camera was on him, and that's fine. But yeah, now if you're going to draft a quarterback that has not been caught on camera doing a good deed, I don't know if I can get behind that. I feel like it's a group of great athletes, but even better young men.
How weird is that though to be like, I'm gonna basically videotape him within earshot, just so I can go viral, but like it's. I don't know. The Malik Willis one was cool.
So the Malik Willis
one. This one was like a terrible sequel.
The guy that posted the video of the Malik Willis one is a sports marketing person.
Oh.
Now, a lot of people, and I know Billy, judging by the look on Billy's face.
Oh, Billy's good.
Billy was about to chime in being like, that one was set up because the guy that videotaped it is in sports marketing. I think it's also very, very possible that there was a guy that was videotaping who happens to work in sports marketing that was at the combine because... There are a lot of those guys down
there.
Yes. That's like everybody down there is in sports marketing.
This was also my who's back, but doing some Pythagorean theorem on Malik Willis's absolute gigantic throw. So he threw it 60 yards down the field, but if you like do the hypotenuse of how actually far he threw in a straight line, it got out to 73.72 yards.
Okay, compare that to the sick throw that Zach Wilson made at his pro day last year.
This one's up there. This one's right. I would say this is extremely impressive, especially from the shotgun, being able to throw it that far.
What about his spiral? Is it fuckable?
His spiral is pretty... You know who has a really sick spiral? I'm actually, out of all the guys I was looking at, Desmond Ridder has
Cincinnati.
A nice spiral. Cincinnati guy. He gives me Justin Herbert type vibes.
Oh, but definitely not as strong of an arm.
I think it could be there.
Justin Herbert has like a really, really strong arm.
Fuckable spiral.
So I'm going to back you on that part. Like, if you see a spiral, you're like, damn, that spiral's sexy. I'm gonna check it out too. I'm going to follow it on Instagram.
Are you going to do your quarterback bracket?
Yes, I'm working on that. I actually have a bunch of stuff. Like, Carson Strong also has a great spiral, but.
Great quarterback name.
Not his immobility.
Nevada?
Yeah, it doesn't make up with his spiral just enough, but like guys like Sam Howell have a good spiral, but I don't think. I don't think he's got it.
All right, so I want a quarterback bracket, of how you think their careers are going to go, and then I want a quarterback spiral bracket.
Okay, 100%. All right?
Perfect. And then you can bring them together, and that will be how we find out who should get drafted first. All right, exactly. What's your who's back, Billy? That was your who's back.
Yeah, that was.
All right, Jake, your who's back. Also, what do you got on Jerry Davis?
It looks like he got hit in the face.
But
so
his knee?
I don't see anything.
Okay. All right.
But
I'm
I don't,
nervous. I'm officially nervous. Okay.
I don't know. But in addition to Sister Jean, my other who's back is Magic Johnson on television.
Yes.
He returned to NBA Countdown. So it's Greeny, Stephen A., Will Bond, and Magic.
Wow. And also the new Showtime HBO show. What is it called? It's Showtime, I think.
Showtime.
I read the first 20 pages of that book.
That's very confusing. There's a show on HBO called Showtime.
Yeah. That's how he's also back.
Magic,
it's about the Lakers.
With some hot takes. He called out Russell Westbrook about making excuses. So it should be fun to have him for the home stretch of the season.
I love it. I just love Greeny up there because nobody takes anything that he says seriously on that show.
I want one of them to just be... One of them needs to go full troll and be like, advanced numbers say Russell Westbrook's actually having an incredible season.
The problem is, like, look at the people that are on that panel. Like, I can't... Will Bond is not a... He's always naturally trollish.
Yeah.
But I don't think that he would ever, like, stand for... he would never try to piss anybody off intentionally. His existence just says that naturally.
Like, if they really... That's what I need, though. I need someone to essentially say, like, if you look at the advanced stats, the problem with the Lakers are they're actually not getting Russell Westbrook the ball enough.
He needs to take more shots.
He really... called him Westbrook on the broadcast.
He did.
Yeah.
He really does... I appreciate watching Russell Westbrook at this point in his career because it's kind of been his whole career, but at least he was better before this year. He really is just the epitome of, like, if I try hard enough, it will work. Like, if I dribble hard enough, if I run hard enough, if I shoot hard enough, if I pass hard enough,
if I yell loud enough,
yeah.
You know, the way that he plays is actually, he should play the way that Ben Simmons plays.
Yeah.
He should have, like, Ben Simmons and him, if they, like, switched their confidence levels, I think both players would be better.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. We need a Freaky Friday situation. All right, let's get to our interview. Awesome interview. Bert Kreischer. Before we do that, PFT, you have...
With golf season in full swing, Chevy wants to help you make the most of every drive, and the all-electric Blazer EV's bold design and dynamic performance make it the perfect electric vehicle to get you to the course in style and comfort. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Okay, we now welcome on a very special guest. You want to clap too?
I was about to.
I do it. There's no reason. We have a sound guy who literally slates it, but I have to clap. It's something about it. Like, been doing it forever. Have to clap. That laugh, that is Bert Kreischer.
He's great to be here.
It's great.
This is an honor. This is like you guys are legendary in the whole podcast realm, and so to be here is an honor.
I appreciate that. Nice to hear. I would say that you're a legend. Like, your reputation. I imagine you're a guy who's reputation, even before you were, like, a famous guy, your reputation probably preceded you a lot of places that you went.
Yeah, but not in a good way. Like, in the way, like, don't invite him over. We're having kids over. He'll take a shit on a bed and throw up on the wall. Like, and then, because I get a reputation for that, because that maybe it happened or something. And then,
and then
all of a sudden you had to live it down and be like, yo, I can also be... Like Billy Gardell, you know Billy Gardell from Mike and Molly?
Uh-huh, yeah.
I mean, he was like, one time he was having all our friends over with all their families, and he's like, not the Kreischers. He's like, you can't fucking trust the Kreischers. I go, Billy, I can also be a fucking grown-up. Like, so,
but for
yeah.
how long?
I can be a grown-up for as long as anyone else can be a grown-up. But here's the problem. I'm going to also ask you not to be a grown-up at a certain point.
Right.
And if you want to join in on that, then that's on you. Like, if you do coke at a fucking kid's birthday party... If it does not matter that maybe I had it, you're the one asked for it. Like, I'm the parent that they always go, Sandy said you have a vape pen on you. I'm like, yeah, of course.
You know what? It's like, you're like a gun because you're good to have around in case you need them.
No, right. Okay, that's not, by the way, that's not where I thought this analogy was going. I'm like a gun in that if you use me wrong, it's your fault.
Right, no. It's all these things. You're a gun. If you go somewhere, you might not need a gun, but you'd rather have the gun and not need it than need it and not
and
have
lock
it.
Lock you up,
and then lock
and
you
then.
Up every now and then.
Every now and then, you gotta put me down for a sabbatical and get me out of
keep
like,
away. From
yeah,
people.
Yeah, from children. Yeah,
I'm aware of who I am. When we did the movie, we were just talking about Tetro. When we did the movie, I was hyper aware of how people perceived me just reading about me or learning about me, because like everyone's like, you can't trust this guy. He's a fucking wildfire. Because they're thinking that I'm like Farley or Belushi, like, because I'm like, but I'm not. I show up sober. I work sober. I'm not drunk right now. I drove here. I'm having coffee.
Credit to you.
You guys show a high noon up, I'll drink one. But that's how I work. It's like I get my shit done. There's not.
Yeah.
It's not an accident that I'm here.
Right.
But like, but people were. You could tell. Mark Hamill was like, kept his eye on me, like waiting
careful.
For it to explode. Yeah. It's like a balloon. Someone blew up too much.
So wait. So the movie. It's not. We don't know when it's coming out yet. But it is with our good friend Jimmy Tatro.
Yep. It's locked.
Called
The Machine.
And that is your nickname that you got. Can you tell the story for people who don't know the story?
I got involved with the Russian mafia when I was 22, and I. I'd taken Russian classes. I didn't learn anything. We went to Russia. The mob ran everything, and they gave us two young gangsters, two banditti, to kind of chaperone us, to like shadow us. And I planned a sentence. I was going to say "Strasvutskiy men ya zovu Bird, ochen priyatno, ya rabotayu koshka." That's what I was going to say. But it means hello, my name's Bird. It's very nice to meet you. I work pussy. And so, when the door opened, I was looking at a fucking gangster, and I froze. And he just went "Shto?" Like, what the fuck do you want? And I meant to say. And for anyone Russian, I meant to say, I'm the man, which is Yamashina. But I said Yamashinu, which means technically, I'm a car. And he started laughing, and he goes, what did you say? And I go, I just said it again. I was like, I'm the machine. And he brought me in, said, tell them what you said. And I was like, I'm the fucking machine. And they loved it. They loved it. And we drank all night long. All I knew how to say in the language was, I'm the machine, and I fuck cats. That's it. And so I got the nickname, the machine, and then ultimately, we ended up robbing a train. So,
Well, I mean, that's
passed over
that part.
You got to use a passive voice, like the train was robbed.
Yeah,
the train was robbed. And by the way, I really think every guy would have robbed that train.
So tell us, tell us. I mean, it does sound like you had no choice but to rob that train.
So I party with this guy that meets me at the door, Igor, good guy. And you understand things were a little different in Russia. We stole a boat. We ran a pool hall scam. Like, you could just see that things were a little freer. And so we take this overnight train trip to Moscow. And Igor tells me, he goes, I can't go. He's like, different mafia runs the train. Different mafia runs Moscow. Don't worry, though. I had to set it up. They're going to take care of you. And when I got there, they looked like two kids on Christmas. They were like, oh, I can't wait to play with the machine. They're like, the machine sits in first class. And so I'm like, fuck yeah. And we're drinking booze. The conductor comes in, rips off the Stars and Stripes to his shirt, gives them to me. He's like, it would be an honor to do a shot of vodka with the machine. I'm like, I'm literally like, fuck it. I'm in the mob. I'll do whatever the fuck I want. We roll. We drink all the booze in an hour, go to the bar cart to get more booze. And Igor says to me in Russian, he goes, machine, go behind the bar and grab bread. Kleb is bread. And I understood him. And I'm in this moment where I go, I'm fucking learning. Like, this is immersion. I'm learning my way, not through flashcards and textbooks, but by joining the mafia. Uh-huh. This is how you learn the language. I'm behind the bar. And I'm like, I say to the guy, I know what you're saying. And he's like, go for you, machine. Can the machine find cheese? And I was like, see, cheese, I got it. Give me another one. He's like, grab vodka. I was like, all right, another one. Give me another one. He's like, grab the money. And at that moment, I realized, cutely, we're robbing the bar. And I realized he's going through people's pockets, and the bartender's frozen like this. And I'm behind the bar, robbing the bar. And I'm like, motherfucker. And then I took the guy's shit. We leave. I was like, I'm not going to go against the like. The guy said, take the money. I'm like,
way you just explained it, like, you did have no choice. You had no choice. To rob that bar.
Yeah.
We go back to our first class cabin. Teacher comes back, who, by the way, did not speak Russian, okay? English teacher.
Your teacher from college.
Chaperone. I didn't know the woman. She was a chaperone for the trip. She was just a teacher at Florida State. She swings the door open with that liberal arts confidence. It's like, this shit is fucking over. She's talking to me and the mafia. You're done, mister. Get up right now. And Big Igor takes a sip of vodka, spits it in her eyes, and goes, no one talks to the machine like that. Shuts the door in her face, and he's like, fuck that bitch. This is Russia. Don't worry, machine. When it gets dark, we have good time. I'm like, what the fuck are we doing when it gets dark? Reaches into his pocket, pulls out a ring of keys. He's like, we're robbing the whole fucking train. And so, robbed the whole train.
Robbed the whole train.
Well, here's what's fascinating about the story is I posted this on Facebook like 5 years ago. That's why when it went viral. I didn't think anyone was going to see it. And what happened is it started going viral. My wife told me, and I was like, no way. And I had to figure out why it was going viral because I had told it before, and it didn't go viral. What happened was the way the algorithm worked at the time, when you shared the story on your Facebook, the first comment that would show up under your story on your page was the top comment from my page, one that most people interacted with. The top comment from my page was left by a woman. I won't say her name, so I don't blow her up, but you can find it. And she said her name, I think his name's Susan or Kristen. I'm not gonna.
So you did say her name.
I didn't want to say her last name. Poor girl, woman gets hounded. Her comment read, "I was in Bert's Russian class. I was on this trip. This story's 100% true. He fucking robbed us." And then she tagged everyone in my class.
Oh God.
So if you want to see what Igor looks like, what I look like, they posted pictures of it. They posted pictures of the morning of the robbery because we robbed the whole class. We robbed everyone. Huh? And then we pulled to Moscow fucking wasted.
Wait, so you robbed your classmates. Did you go back to the class after or no? That was it.
I robbed the whole fucking train. We robbed me. My bag was with them. I robbed my bag because I was with two guys. We robbed the whole fucking train, pulling to Moscow. I'm fucking top five drunkest I've ever been. Train stops, sun's up, door opens. Same teacher's like, not mad, right? Looks at me and goes, "I want you to know they've alerted the police." And I see two cops on the platform talking to my whole class. They're in their pajamas. They're upset. They've been robbed. I get it, you know. Big Igor's completely unfazed. He's like, "Don't worry. I speak to police for both of us." Walks out, grabs one of the cops, spins him around, and just starts going, "Fuck you! Fuck, we fuck you in the mouth! We fuck!" I'm like, "Stop with the fucking wee shit." Cop waves me over. I walk over to the cop, who, by the way, is standing in front of the class I just robbed. Next to the gangster I robbed them with. All I'm thinking is, this is not how I plan on spending my second junior year in college. I get five steps from the cop, and he looks impatient as fuck. He takes two big steps, grabs me by the arm, pulls me into his face, and he goes, "So, I understand you're the machine, huh? Tonight you party with us." I was like, wait. I go, "I'm not in trouble." And he gets so close to me, I can smell his morning cigarette. And he's like, "No, fuck that bitch. This is Russia." So we did not get in trouble. We definitely had a meeting.
That sucks.
By the elevators. Yeah, that sucks.
But you were the machine.
Well, no, my friend Igor was like, "Hey, man. I gave them Bert for a reason. Like, if they had nothing to do, bad shit would have happened. But they partied with Bert." What's fucking crazy about this story? 100% true. In Moscow, we had to go back to St. Petersburg. We had the same two gangsters. And my teachers were like, "Hey, apparently we need you to party with them and just like a rodeo clown, like distract them." So we got on the train. I partied with them. They took pictures of me shitting, which they'd never. They were so easy to entertain because they had no frame of reference for like frat boy humor. Yeah. Like, "This is the lawnmower, huh, guys? Hey!" And they're like, "This guy's fucking hilarious." Yeah. I learned how to say "fat guy in a little coat," and you know, from fucking Tommy Boy.
Yeah.
And they're dying. Who the fuck is this guy? And they're like, "He's the machine."
Holy shit. So have you been back to Russia since then?
Are you allowed back?
That's the question. Like, could you get through the border?
You know what's so crazy? I actually thought to myself, and you know, sometimes, okay, this is an ego thought, so bear with me, but do you ever think to yourself, like, fuck, does Tom Brady know who we are?
Hank right? does, yeah.
Yeah.
Hank was thinking that all last week.
Thank Tank in his retirement.
Did he really?
Yeah, well, Hank went to jail for him.
Really?
Yes.
For Deflategate.
Yeah,
no, he locked himself.
Rational thing.
He put handcuffs on himself.
You said, "Oh, okay," like that was like.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
For Deflategate, and you're like, "Oh, okay, yeah,
okay, all right." Weirder things have happened. Yeah. But do you ever go into that thing like I tweeted at Aaron Rodgers one time, just not like, "Hey man, I'm in Green Bay doing a show. If you want to get dinner, it's gonna have to be early." You know, just like fucking around.
Mm-hmm.
And then he DMs me. He's like, "Yo, you fucking with me, bro?" And then I'm like, "Wait, Aaron Rodgers knows who I am?" Like, and then you're like, "Hold on, like when did that happen?" I was thinking to myself, right? So Biden fucking hates Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
I mean, they're really. The press secretary is like, "We got to get rid of Joe Rogan."
Which is crazy.
One of my best friends. I've been on his podcast 30 times.
Well, no, 26 now, right? Because you got four deleted.
I got four deleted. So, thank God, I'm sure.
Update those.
Yeah. Fucking take them all down. So, but then you think, I wonder if Putin is like, he knows Rogan because he loves MMA.
Right.
I wonder if at any point someone said to Putin, "Hey, you got to hear this machine story. It's pretty fucking good."
I think the fact that it's been around and it's gone reviral like three or four times.
Yeah, yeah.
Where there's like different 85
waves. Million views.
The movie, too, I feel like when the movie comes out, I would say Putin would know.
Yeah, and then he's always shirtless, right?
Yep.
I'm always shirtless. It's like at one point I'm wondering if I'll get the call like, hey, someone wants to have drinks at you in the with a, and it'll be Putin. I would love that. See, that's the problem. I want to party with like Kim Jong-un, Putin, all the people hate. I think I'd get along well with.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, yeah. Definitely Putin. I think
story.
Yeah.
I'd love to party with Putin.
Putin's probably got access to drugs that you don't even know about.
Oh,
the yeah, drugs that God. Don't exist over
you
there.
You have to play hockey with him, though.
I'd fucking play hockey.
Let him score. Score. Would you let him score?
It's the best. When he
I
gets
would be the quickest patsy he's ever seen.
When he gets, when he plays.
You
want to
talk about a yes man?
Yes.
Fucking, I'm a dog kid. I'm a dog. Da, 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 da. I remember one time the one of the guys in the mob was like, have you ever gotten a blowjob with machine gun out window? Just blah, right when you come. It's so good. Like, that's the kind of shit I want to be around.
I love that.
Oh man,
I have a weird thing for that danger. I'm oblivious American. Like we spent the night in a favela in Brazil one night, and I got lost in a favela. Like just started walking around. Favelas are notoriously the most dangerous places you could ever be in Brazil.
Yeah,
and they took us up on motorcycles, and the kids with the motorcycles left. We were a trip flip, a Travel Channel. I just got lost, and I had the coolest fucking time.
So why, like, what is it about you? Because I can see it. Like, I think there's, I don't know what it is, but there's clearly something that you have that, like, people would welcome you in, and it's like not, you know, you're not a danger. It's like, oh, this guy wants to party.
I think I don't know. I'm like a drunk Forrest Gump. Like, I have impulse control problems very badly. So, like, if someone says, let's do something, I'm the first one that's like, definitely in. Like, and I do it before I think it through.
Right.
So sometimes I've said I'm in, and then I sit back and go, shit, we don't leave for another week and a half, and I think I might have fucked up. Like, I don't want to go. But then I go also, like, I jumped out of a plane, totally afraid of heights. First person to jump off Stratosphere, that was just someone going, do you want to do it? And I was like, yes, for TV, yes. It'll be badass. And then the day I'm getting there, I'm throwing up, and I'm having dry heaves in a fucking bathtub. I'm literally having panic attacks. I'm calling Travel Channel saying I picked the wrong show. I need to get off this show. So, like, I have impulse control problems, and I think I'm a fun guy to party with.
Yeah,
I think a lot of it has to do with the laugh, too. If somebody has a good laugh, then immediately, like, they're trustworthy, you know? And, like, your whole face, like, your eyes laugh,
too.
Yeah,
the laugh, the
and
face.
So, yeah, so when you do that face that you're doing right now, if I'm a gangster and I see that face, like, I can't kill you. You're too cute. You're adorable. Yeah.
Dude, when we first did a show in Mexico for Trip Flip, this is long time ago. We had fixers, right? And like our fixers, one of our fixers brought me over, and they're like, these guys want to meet you. So they were like fucking scary dudes in this really expensive sushi restaurant. And he's like, they wanted you to tell the machine story. And I was like, I don't know Spanish that well. Like, I know it, but I can't do it in Spanish. And he said that to him, and he goes, it doesn't matter. I'll translate. Go. And I was like, I don't think these are the guys you say no to. And they just kept bringing over tequila, and we're shooting tequila. And I was like, cuando yo soy 22 años. Like, it was fucking. But, like, I also am super accommodating. I want to make sure. I think that's why I got into comedy. I want to make sure everyone has the best time possible when they're around me. I want everyone to like me. So, like, all those weird things mixed into one. And I like drinking. And I'm from Florida. So, like, that, like, you, all those things combined to get one fucked up person.
I didn't realize that Van Wilder was written after you. Why aren't you suing them? So for, I think most people have seen the movie, but you haven't. Bert, how many years did you end up going to college for? Six? Seven?
I went to college for 6.5 years, and then Rolling Stone magazine wrote an article about me, calling me the number one party animal in the country, and it changed my life. I mean, Oliver Stone's company optioned the rights to my life. I mean, I was like, I got asked to be on Oprah. Like, I mean, it was a big ton of shit. And then I moved to New York, started stand up, and within 6 months, Will Smith discovered me. So the option's still going on over at Oliver Stone's company. Will Smith discovers me. We start developing a script, sold it to Fox, and then the option from Oliver Stone kind of went away because my agents were like, hey, he needs to play this guy.
Right.
Will Smith's backing him in a sitcom. We want him attached, and they're like, that's not how this works.
Right.
And so the option died. And this is all, by the way, you know, allegedly, because we never sued, obviously. Mm-hmm. I thank God. But apparently the option ran out. One of the guys who wrote one of the scripts for the option turned around, sold it to National Lampoon, and they changed my name, kept my friends' names in it, oddly. And then it became Van Wilder. That's obviously what I've heard from the people that worked at National Lampoon and from I've talked to the people that produced the movie. But
well, and if you read the Rolling Stones article, the writer follows you around at Florida State as a whatever 6-year senior,
yeah.
And you're living that life.
Yeah, it's weird because because I submitted a script when they did the option, it was called The Undergraduates, about four dudes, and they're like, no, it's got to be about a journalist because the journalist had sold his life, sold the rights to the article.
Right.
So they're like, it's got to be about a journalist and a party animal. And I've never seen Van Wilder, but I guess that's what the movie's about.
It is. You've
never
yes.
seen it.
No.
There was never like a small party that was like,
I'm holding
I want to go see the movie that's based on my life.
I'm holding out. Ryan Reynolds. I'll watch it with Ryan Reynolds.
Ooh.
Yeah. I did a sitcom deal, a tentative sitcom deal with his company. I think they're called Dark Horse or something. And they're like, you've never seen the movie? And I was like, nah. And I was like, but I'll watch it with him. Because I don't want to. It's like when I was young, I was like, I want to be bigger than that movie. So like, I don't want that movie to be who people think I am.
Right.
And I think I've gotten bigger
definitely,
than the movie.
Definitely sure. bigger than the movie.
And so now it's like a nice subplot in my story.
Yeah, it's a very funny yeah. like, oh shit, I never really kind of yeah. made that full connection.
Thank God I didn't sue. We were on Venice. Lawyers, agents, managers, everyone on the phone the day the movie drops. And they're like, we're going to sue. We're going to sue. And I had one manager who said, there's two people in this business, Papa, people who work and people who sue. Pick which one you want to be. And I chose not to sue. And if I had sued, I'd be that kid for the rest of my
life. Yeah, you would, because yep. you would have gotten a settlement and everyone would have been like, oh, shit, you're the yeah. Van Wilder guy.
And then I would have been the guy I would have gone to bars. I would have done what the Road Rules kids did and
yep.
partied at bar.
Well,
partied
with the let's original not.
Van Wilder.
Okay, let's not. Let's
no, it does become
I mean, those
party.
Guys are fucking, like CT, Johnny Bananas, those guys are legends.
Don't get me started. CT is a legit fucking legend.
Yes,
CT
he is.
CT is a legit,
yes.
the best hair in the goddamn business. Movie star good looks, fucking reality show personality. I had a when I saw him in Paris. Don't get me started yes. on these guys. When I saw him in Paris, I was forever. Like, "Fucking CT is the man."
He is,
and he just carried himself, dude. I don't even follow pro wrestling, but the fact that the Miz went from fucking Real World Chicago to professional wrestler, mm-hmm. that I am so impressed by.
And said he was going to do it. Like, dude, remember when he's on Real World? He's like, "I want to be a wrestler." It was like,
"Call his shot." Okay. I'm in a car with my best friend one day. And I said, are you dating anyone? He said, I think I'm in love. And I said, really, what's her name? And he said, Christina Pajitsky. And I went, hold on. You're dating Christina from fucking Road Rules? And he was like, you know her? And I was like, I need to meet her. Yeah. I mean, I bring that up to her. That's Tom's wife. That's his wife.
Yeah.
I'm still bringing it up every time I see her. I was the biggest fucking fan of those shows.
Me too. What did you think about Wes when he had his steroid year? That was one of the funniest subplots of all time, that they had the challenge. The challenge has been going on for like 15 years, and Wes just showed up. No one has been more – Barry Bonds in his prime wasn't as roided up as Wes was that year. And then he just went right back down to like – he like lost all the weight and was like, all right, I'm done doing steroids.
Wes was such an interesting fucking character because he was so white, like so bright white,
yes.
that he always stood off to the side. Like
yes.
he always – anytime anyone touched him in anything physical, he'd get these red hand marks all over him. Dude, I am obsessed with that shit.
Yeah.
Like I mean, as a grown man, I had two children, and I would be sitting watching the challenge in my living room. My wife's like, are you fucking kidding me?
It's
for
the best.
Whatever reason, it is the fucking best. And if I run into those kids now, they're adults or my age.
Yeah.
I lose my shit. I saw Puck. Puck came to one mm-hmm. of my shows.
Oh, jeez.
I was like, what the fuck?
That's a way, what? Way throwback.
They discovered yeah. what the secret formula was, which is just get kids that are like 20 years old, 21 years old, put them in a house, don't let them watch TV. Take all the TVs out, and then just give them all the booze they want.
Yeah.
And then you have the makings of it. You have everything you need inside that house. For
I did
show.
A pilot with Boone and Murray one time. Me, Theo Von, and Brett Ernst. The funniest pilot that's ever not been shown to anyone. So politically incorrect. I mean, when you're talking, we started a fraternity, us three comedians, started a fraternity in the hills, and we just put it on Craigslist, and we got a who's list of people with mental problems. And we had one guy with PTSD. I mean,
sounds like Barstool Sports headquarters.
It was. I tried to buy it back from Boone Murray because it's that fucking funny.
Yeah.
At one point, we were like, me and Theo and Brett Ernst are like, we should throw a party, but how are we going to get girls? And Theo's like, why don't we just hire porn stars? What's their day rate? And we're like, it's like $800 a day. And he's like, yeah, let's just get like 20 porn stars. And we're like, oh, cool. Next thing you know, fucking chicks are naked. Sound guy's like, hey, I think he's getting his dick sucked in the bathroom. And we're like, fuck. The producers came out. I am naked in a pool with porn stars. And he's like, we can't use any of this. And we're like, we're having a fucking blast. This dude came up to me. He's like, I think I cheated on my fucking fiance, man. And we're like, he's like, no, they filmed it. Are you going to film me cheating on my fiance? I let her suck my dick. It was the greatest. We did powder puff football one day with girls dressed in pads, and the whole thing was that they were going to be better than us because we didn't have pads. And Brett Ernst gave the best fucking win one for the Gipper speech about lighting these bitches up. I want to see dead whores everywhere. And we fucking clothesline these women. I mean, it looked like if you let OJ Simpson do what he really wanted to do, it was next fuck the greatest pilot you'll never fucking
see. Yeah, what happened to it?
Yeah.
I have no fucking idea. I drank the entire fucking time. We stole a goat and we had planned to steal a goat from a bar. Like, we had, you know, set it up. And we're like, yeah, we're going to steal a goat. We got the address wrong, and we really broke into someone's house and stole their fucking goat. And all of a sudden, we get up to someone else. And then we had this fucking goat in the middle of Beverly Hills at this house, shitting and pissing everywhere.
You're saying, like, you stole the wrong goat?
Stole the wrong goat. We broke into someone's fucking house.
How did you know it was the wrong goat, though?
Because they came in with the goat. They're like, you never got the goat. We're like, we have the goat. And he's like, what goat? Like, we have two goats. And they're like, wait, where did you stop? We're like, Sand Canyon? And they're like, no. Sand Canyon Street, and we're like, fuck.
It's funny. Like, you essentially just created fantasy camp, like adult fantasy camp for yourself.
One guy
the
had
fact PTSD. That it was a show was like irrelevant. Oh, you were just having a good time.
It was the greatest. A lot of those guys are dead. It was like, because a lot of them had some problems. Yeah. Like,
well, how long ago was this?
I don't know. I'll tell you right now, Barstool's got the money. If you can fucking buy that, I couldn't get it. They were like, I'm not gonna sell it to you. Buna Murray. It will get all of us canceled. I mean, all of us will be canceled immediately. Like, I'm going to have to not be in my house for a while. It was sketchy. I mean.
That might be what it takes to stop like people from coming after you. Just release the worst possible shit that you already have on yourself.
Yeah, you think my appearances on Rogan were bad?
Yeah.
Watch this.
You think Two Bears? You know, Tom and I, one time when we started that fucking podcast, we didn't think it would turn into this. We were like, let's say the most out of context cancelable things we could think of. And so we went back and forth in out of context saying the most horrific statements, never thinking it would bite us in the ass. I remember Tom the other day was like, should we get rid of that episode? I mean, the things we did. I mean, Tom and I, we do these live shows. We went into a dominatrix's house and we were just going to, I don't think Tom knew what they did. And I did. Mm-hmm. So they're like, hey, put on this thong. So I throw on a thong. And then they're like, Tom, put one on. And he's like, no. And then Tom ends up in his underwear, and then she's like, all right, quick, I'm going to tether your cocks together with electrodes, and I'm going to shock your cocks to see who can put up with the most pain and who taps out first. And she leaves the room. Tom and our dicks are tethered together with electrodes, and he looks at me dead serious in the eyes. He's like, is this a good idea? And I remember going, you're the one that's supposed to stop the bad ideas. And he was like, but our dicks are already tethered together. And she's like, you boys ready? And we're like, I guess so. We get done. The woman looks us dead in the eyes. She goes, so you guys want to come now? And we're like, Tom's like, I think we're in over our head. We have done, I mean, I don't know. Here's the deal. This is what I subscribe by. You either get that everything I'm doing is meant to entertain you,
right,
and make you have a good time and let you forget about fucking COVID or the fucking shit job that you're dealing with at the time being, or a fuck face boss or a fucking cunt wife, whatever the fuck, or asshole husband, whatever the fuck. That's my only.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
And the thing that I struggle with when I see all this stuff, because, I mean, I completely agree with you. And, you know, Barstool, we've been online for a very long time, so I'm definitely not someone to throw stones with any of this shit. But the thing I hate is when people bring up old shit and it's a completely different time. And it's like, but at the time, it was not hurting anyone. And now we're trying to hurt people. Like, you weren't listening. You're not a fan of this.
You're not a fan. You're just pulling things out of context.
Right.
And quite honestly, a lot of them look like hit pieces. Right. I mean, they do to me, and I'm some sitting on the outside, but, you know, like, I mean, you look at, like, you go back to the Aziz thing. Aziz kind of looked like a hit piece.
Yeah.
You know, and now,
no,
granted.
He got fucked on that one. Like, mm-hmm. It was at the height of the Me Too stuff, which a lot of good stuff, I think, came out of that. Like, a lot of powerful
ton.
People.
By the way, a ton of good stuff came out of that. And a ton of it for just regular guys like us who are like, I mean, you see a woman walk into the office and she looks beautiful. And maybe in 2010 you would have been like, God damn, you look great today. Now you just go, hey, man. I'm not going to say a fucking word.
Yeah.
Like, right? Like, those, just those little microaggressions. On a bigger level, so many fucking pigs in Hollywood were stopped from being fucking pigs. Right. And there were a lot of fucking pigs. But sometimes you're like, I don't know, I guess you gotta burn the fence down to burn the house. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, it's a weird time.
His thing was like, he had an awkward hookup one time. And then they wrote an article about that. And I think, for me, that was like, I recognized it at the time. I think a lot of people didn't, though, and they threw him into the lump of like, oh, he's basically Harvey Weinstein. It's like, no, he just tried to fuck one night.
Yeah.
And they didn't get along, and that's the end of the story. But yeah, I think that with Rogan, it's like, once you reach a certain point, once you have a big enough following, then people are like, well, they need to stop listening to this guy.
Mm-hmm. It's
they
crazy.
They didn't care when it was smaller.
No, they didn't. But by the way, it's crazy to me because, I will say, I've said it out loud, I'll say it a million times, Joe Rogan's one of my best friends. I absolutely adore that guy. I know him to be a lot of things. A racist is not what he is. I can promise you that. He's a lot of things. Trust me. The guy's fucking flawed like all of us.
Yeah.
He's a fuck.
Actually, I think, like, the point that everyone misses. Show me a perfect human. Doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist. And I'm telling you, man, there's so many good things. And I don't even want to say the good things because it sounds like, why weren't you saying them 2 weeks ago, Bert?
Right.
It's like, I posted a picture of me and him on Instagram, and I had a lot of friends come at me being like, you stand with Joe Rogan? And I go, I don't leave my friends. Like, I'm loyal to I got a small group of friends. I'm a ride or die for a fucking small group of people. And that's my group. And I stand by my friends. And I'm going to say this, and this is all that needs to be said. So my dad is very, very liberal, and he's not, I mean, he thinks Joe's an interesting guy, but he's not a fan of what Joe's said about the COVID, and my dad's got a few things to say about Joe. I post a picture on Instagram of me and Joe, just together, and I say, I'm very lucky to call Joe Rogan my friend. My dad texts me immediately, and I'm like, fuck, he's going to be like, take that down, whatever. My dad says, I'm very proud of the son I raised, that you would be loyal to a friend in a moment like this. And I was like, that's all you want.
Yeah.
Fuck all those negative comments.
Yeah.
If your dad texts you, who, by the way, does not, he said, I don't like the word Joe said. I don't like how many times he said it. I don't like the statement he said also. I think his statement in apology was heartfelt. That's what my dad said. And he's like, but I'm proud I raised a son who stands by his friends. That's all the fuck you want.
That's huge. Yeah,
that's the only comment you want is your parents.
You're not co-signing what he said. You're saying, like, this is my friend.
Right.
And I love my friend, and I'm going to be there for him.
And trust me.
And you're right, like, saying everybody's fucked up. Everybody has skeletons in their closet. Everybody's got – no one's perfect. The people that are acting like they're the most perfect people in the world, they're the ones that are scared that they've got something to hide
out there.
And I think a lot of times, like, they just project that, and they go on little hunts to try to make other people feel as bad as they do about themselves.
And I also, I mean, we don't want to have to make this whole thing about, like, Rogan and cancellation, but I can't, like, for the life of me understand why saying, like, you got to go away now forever is, like, how does that make people evolve? How does that get people to, like, you... Like, having people evolve is to be like, oh, you know what? This is fun. Like, maybe I shouldn't say this. This is not good. This is not, you know, like, and moving forward and getting better and finding different ways to do it. I always think that's way better. And like you saying, being a good friend, like, if you ditch on your friends, how does that make Joe Rogan a better person? It doesn't.
My daughter got caught smoking weed. I probably shouldn't talk about this, but I don't really give a
how
fuck.
How old is she? Him.
She's 7. No, I'm kidding. Everyone, that's a joke. Just so we're clear that if you're listening,
that's 4.
A joke. Yeah. Yeah, she's 4. So my wife caught her, right? And this is how I look at all this, because it just coming to – I lost my shit. 16 at the time. I lost my shit. I didn't handle it well. I flew off the handle. And I – at the time, I thought
that – she didn't share with you?
No, it was during, honestly, it was during COVID when we were supposed to be socially distant, and passing a joint around is not how you keep COVID out of our fucking house. That's how I felt.
Was it because it was bad weed?
No. And by the way, it was probably out of my stash, so it was amazing. And there's a lot I need to tell you about weed. You don't start with the shit in the humidor from fucking the Blunt House people.
Right.
So I lost my shit. I lost my shit, and I thought it was warranted. She broke the rules. That's what a dad does. In raising her, since that point, I realized I fucked up. Because what I did is I created a paradigm within which she was not allowed to grow and learn because she was going to fuck up again. But now she was so scared of watching me fly off the handle or getting me upset that I taught her the new thing is to lie.
Right.
And and it's taken me a year and a half to get to a place where now we're establishing an honesty where I go, hey, you're going to fuck up. You're still fucking up. But understand I'm not going to lose my shit. I want to help you learn the right way to fucking evolve. You're going to college next year, and I want you to understand about drugs and alcohol, what they are and what boys are. Like. And so it took me a while to understand I went about things the wrong way. So I think, and by the way,
yeah,
it's just about learning.
Yes.
It's like if you said, all right, Bert, that's how you are forever, is you're the dad that gets upset on vacation in Arizona at a fucking truck stop and unloads the shit wrong out of the fucking RV, and now you're screaming, you got shit all over your hands, and you're raising your voice at your daughter. That's not who the fuck I am forever.
Yeah.
That's who I was then, and now as a father, I'm the dad that's like, hey, I'm really proud you didn't drink and drive, and you called us and told us you were drunk. I'm proud of that.
Right.
And that's where we should start this conversation. It's like, I got to evolve as a dad.
Right.
Like, everyone should evolve.
Yeah, that's my biggest thing is like there's no actual like end goal. It's just like let's get rid of this person. This person should be canceled. Get rid of them. And that's it. It's like what are we doing here? We're all flawed humans and we're all just trying to make through this shithole.
Yeah.
And figure it out.
It's a really interesting point that you bring up though about how like people that lie a lot, they lie because of the reaction that they were getting when they would get in trouble. It's like almost a defense mechanism,
yeah,
right?
Use that with Billy. We got to fix that.
Yeah, we got to fix that with Billy. So
lies to us for sport.
How can we like everything? No, he even lies. He even lies about like lying to us.
He told
There's
us
lies that are three lies deep.
He's not in the room right now. He's probably I don't know what he's doing. He told us that he didn't sleep in yesterday. He had woken up and he fell back asleep. So he technically didn't sleep in.
Yeah.
He woke up at 8:30 and then he went back to sleep and slept till 11 and he missed something at 10. He's like, well, I didn't actually sleep in. Mm-hmm. I was up and then I went back to sleep. We're like, okay.
No. I like crafting the truth to make it fit your narrative.
Yeah.
No, I was up. I was going to work out. Like I made coffee, but I fell back asleep. And next thing you know, it's 2:30.
He just wasn't awake when he should have been. That's all.
I have selective memory. Like, if you ask me how much I drank, I will always go, I had a couple drinks.
Yeah.
And then, like, we did it when we started Sober October. Rogan was like, how many drinks do you normally drink? And I said, 9, because that's the truth. Maybe I'll have like 9 drinks in a night. Segura starts losing his fucking mind because he knows they're doubles. And he's like, you're not telling the truth.
No.
I go, no, 9 drinks. He goes, Joe, they're doubles. And it was like, 18 fucking drinks? And I was like, oh, when you make it say it like that, it sounds bad.
Yeah.
It's like, true. I'll drink a bottle of wine at night. Yeah, I'm going to open a second one, but I don't finish that one, so I don't count it.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
Yeah.
That's absolutely right.
When a doctor asks you how many beers do you have on like a typical night out, they have to teach them, like, divide that by 4, right?
Yes, there's no way. My cardiologist was like, how much do you drink? I was like, hey, man, just get my liver enzymes and let's start there, okay? Like, what the fuck am I going to tell? Yeah. I can lie to you or we can fucking.
Lying, like everyone lies to their doctor, which is the funniest like idea ever. Because it's like they're there to help you.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do anything. It's the like, best, no nicotine, nothing.
The best one. I, long time ago, not current, long, long time ago, I applied for some insurance on a movie or TV show. It was a TV show. And the guy calls and he's like, hey, I'm going to do the over the phone conversation. And he's like, do you do drink? And he goes, I just want to let you know I'm recording right now. I said, great. He goes, do you drink? I said, seldomly. He said, it's for travel channeling. He goes, I go, seldomly? He goes, really? How many drinks a week do you think you have? I said, I don't know. Maybe I'll have 2. I'm not really sure, 2. He's like, do you do drugs? I said, no, I don't. No drugs. And he goes, okay. He goes, do you do any dangerous activities? And I was like, nope. Mind you, I was swimming with great white sharks out of the cage, skydiving, base jumping. I was doing all of it. So we do this whole fucking 30-minute interview, and he goes, awesome. He goes, I want you to know that I'm done recording. And I said, great. And he goes, oh, and he starts laughing hysterically. I've been holding this in. I know exactly who you fucking are. And I just had to do this whole interview with you. He was like, I was biting my fucking tongue. He was like, what did you say? Two drinks? Are you fucking kidding me? And I was like, are we good though? He was like, oh yeah, you're getting insurance for the drinks. I was like, oh fuck.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Is that, or you could just like, when you're doing those interviews, just everyone will think that you're a massive phony. They'll be they'll go back and be like, yo, he actually doesn't do any of the shit that he says that he does on the air.
I remember
it's just a character.
That was a big thing in stand-up, is that you'd see guys that would take fake shots on stage.
Really?
And I was not that guy.
That's sad. That's fucked up.
Well, some guys do it because they're like, I want to, you know. I never did it because I was like, I couldn't imagine, like, either take the shot or don't.
Right.
I remember one time, and I was so drunk, I fell off the stage. That's happened a couple times to me. But in D.C. So I fall off stage in D.C., and I come back the next time in D.C., and I'm walking past the ticket booth, and this girl's like, I was here last time, and he fell off the stage. He was so drunk. Is that going to happen again tonight? And I was like, oh, my God, that's what I'm going to be known as, is the comic that's so – so I go, I'm in the green room. I'm going to come to Jesus moment. I go, no booze tonight. No booze, no shots. They send a shot. And I tell the waitress, no shots. Get on stage, and there's already shots getting sent to the stage. I go, I'm good, guys. I'm good. I'm going to get through some material, and then, you know, we'll talk. Now there's like fucking 10 shots on the stage. And I go, okay, listen, I'm going to be fucking really honest, okay? I was walking through the line and I heard a woman say, he was so drunk he fell off stage last time. Is that going to happen again? And guys, that will never happen again. And the woman goes, I was the one that said it and I'm the one sending the fucking shots. Fall the fuck off stage, fat guy. And I'm like, all right, we're done. Gosh. I got so drunk one time, I didn't tell the machine story, and I gave out Segura's phone number, and there's a guy, I mean, there's like when you have no filter, there's a guy that stood up and he goes, in the front row, stands up in Tampa, he goes, I have stage 4 bone cancer, in the middle of the show. And I said, well, fuck. I said, let me buy you a drink. And he goes, okay, rum and Diet Coke. I go, stage 4, get the fucking regular Coke. And the guy's like, ah, falls, cracks his head open. I mean, I've had some fucking, when I did clubs, man, the more chaotic, the more I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Like just, I remember one time, and this is back when you couldn't get in trouble. Like no one has video of this, so me just recounting it is just whatever. I remember one time we had two gangbangers in our front row, and they made the dude sweat his comb over down, like, you know, when bald people's hair get wet and see through it. And the woman, Lisa Correo, did not cry. I said she cried in the past. She did not cry, but she will admit she was extremely flustered. And I said to the manager, I said, hey man, there's a set of gangbangers in the front row. Do you want to get them to leave? He's like, they have weapons. I'm not going to say anything. We were in Miami. I was like, fuck. So I just did material to fuck with them, right? It's very easy. You have a joke. You just ask, I ask you the question. When you go down on your wife, what do you do? And then you tell me your answer, and then I tell you my joke, right? So it's a little trick that you can do as a comic. I do that for like 35 minutes. And then I turn to the side of the stage thinking, I haven't told a real joke yet. So I turn to tell a real joke, and I see a flash of black, and it's the one dude. His name's Ray. And he's up on stage. He's like, there's a real motherfucker right here. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to get hit. Or like, something's going on. He's like, yeah, there's a real motherfucker in the 305. That's right. You know what real motherfuckers get? And he drops his pants and shows his dick. And everyone's like, what the fuck? And he looks at me, he goes, show your shit, son. And I'm like, I'm definitely not pulling mine out after that came out. This mine looks like the pig from Charlotte's Web. Like, this looks like something you could whip out at a party. I have something you could show a nurse. And I was like, no. And I go, actually, Ray, I'm pretty certain that they're calling the cops right now. You might want to leave. And he's like, good looking out. Gets off stage, right? His friend, a little more light skin of a dude, a little more attractive, dreadlocks, tattoo on his cheek, stands up slowly. I go, oh my God, how do you follow that? I think with another cock. He comes up on stage and he goes, you funny man, you're a funny motherfucker, you're a real motherfucker. Drops his pants down, also shows an equally big, less dark cock, and he goes, show your shit, son. And I'm like, I'm definitely not showing it after you two. And I go, and as a matter of fact, I am certain they've called the cops by now. You may want to catch up with Ray and see if you can get a ride. He goes, good looking out, son. I look into the audience. I swear to God on my children, they are sitting with a hairless albino. And I said, it's so funny. Out of all the cocks tonight that I've seen, sir, yours is the only one I'd pay to see. He slowly stands up. The room starts going crazy, like, shut, shut. Gets on stage, drops its pants. It is huge and hairless. It looks like a lighthouse in the fog. Place goes nuts. Drop the mic. I go, that's my show. After 35 minutes, I get off stage, party with them all night long. It was the fucking...
Holy fuck.
That was when comedy was fucking dangerous and fun. Now, I mean, it's still dangerous. It's still fun. It's just words, but... Back in the day, man.
That's incredible.
Fucking, you go to the Miami Improv, people get stabbed at your shows.
Holy That's just a crazy shit. Fucking story. Wait, what's the, you said earlier, like, this is the top five drunkest I've been. What's the drunkest you've been?
Good question.
Thank you.
Probably doesn't remember it.
He's going through, it's no, like have, computer I, searching I wanna, files
be
right
accurate
now.
Because there's been some ones, like there's been some ones that don't count where you're like, We're like, I got drunk in Austin, but that was because we were drinking all day, and then I thought we were in San Diego, and I believed we were in San Diego because I've been doing this deprivation. It was a long story, but top five drunks I've been probably, sadly, are the last couple episodes of Rogan, which is really scary. Like the last episode, last time I did Rogan, I was so drunk, I don't remember what we said. For the last 2.5 hours. I have no recollection. but it's off to me because I still don't see him as like bigger than CNN. I still
right,
just see
right,
Joe.
Right, you're right. No, to me, the people that understand the show, and I'm not like a massive fan of Joe. I've listened to him every now and again. I think he's immensely talented at everything that he does. But he's just like a person that has a show.
Yeah.
And he happens to have the biggest audience in the world that he's built over time. It's not like there's no way for somebody to like grow that audience and be like, now I have to have all the responsibility in the world because then the show changes. Nobody listens. He's just himself.
Yeah, and
if you don't like it, you don't like it, and that's fair too.
And that's what catches me off guard. Is like we did the show. We got high, we got drunk. We did I think 5.5 hours, and I really honestly don't think anything. Also, I know my heart, and I know I don't say I know I don't have any hatred in my heart. So I'm not going to get caught up saying something mean spirited. I don't really fucking follow politics at all, so I don't know if he brings something up. It's probably me just listening and nodding.
Uh-huh.
I mostly talk about comedy. That's all I ever want to talk about, or make people laugh, or tell a story. So everything's kind of insular. But I got home that next morning, and I mean, I got fucking wasted. I ended up in Austin on stage. I did stand up, and then these Navy SEALs put me in a car, and they took me back to Segura's house, and then broke into his neighbor's house to get me to his house, and put me in bed and then woke me up and I don't remember any of it. I got on a plane and I was like, you know, I said to my wife, I was like, I didn't drink at all on the plane. She was like, you smell like booze. Like, I think you're still drunk. And I was like, I think I am too. Like, I didn't need to drink on the flight.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got, and she was like, how was Rogan? And I was like, oh, it was fun. I was like, I don't know, same. I don't remember much of it. And then someone was like, dude, what did you say? And I was like, why? They're like, they took the episode down. And I went, and your heart sinks. And
right.
And I, by the way, I could not recollect anything I said. Not one thing. I don't remember any. Like, people started texting me going, hey, thanks for the kind words. And I was like, cool. I guess when I get drunk, I'm sweet. I was like, I just like a lot of people.
Yeah.
So I was just, I must have said nice things about everyone, but like, I don't fucking know. And I was like, maybe I said that COVID was created in the lab. I don't know. I can see what it coming out of my mouth. So they took it down and then they put it back up, but sliced it in 2 episodes. And I was like, I'm certain there's something missing out of the middle.
I mean, in a weird way, what they're doing is making people want to listen more now.
Yeah,
like,
I guess.
Took the episodes down. Now I'm like, I want to know what some of those fucking episodes.
Listen, here's the thing. And I mean, not to harp on my buddy, but like, I listen to it all the time, right? I love the podcast. There's some I don't listen to.
Yeah.
Like, there's some I just go.
It's every podcast.
Yeah, that's not my thing. Like, I listen when my thing is on. Like, when you guys had a fucking Taylor Heineke on, right? And
yeah.
You guys were talking, and I'm interested in his views on the change of the name to the Commanders, because I personally like the Washington football team. I thought that was a cool old school way to do it.
Yep.
But then, and then he gets in and he was like, you talk shit about me one time. Like that, I listen to that, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then there's other ones where I'm not, like, trust me, you guys get Trevor Bauer on, I'll listen to that fucking episode.
Yeah.
I'll listen to that episode, because I'm interested in what, I followed that through the news thread, but like, if you get fucking, like, if you had, I'd listen to Johnny Hecker, that would be an episode I listen to, but like, There's certain athletes I'm not. I don't. I'm not.
Right.
Not
right. Right. That's every. Yeah. Right. And yeah. You can't like every sport. Like, are you going to the game?
No.
I know we're gonna probably air this after, but you have the Rams hat on.
Yeah. I'm full blown
Rams.
No. So I'm a Bucs fan because I grew up in Tampa. I'm a Bucs fan, diehard, but I live in LA. My kids are Rams fans. My wife's a Rams fan. We have Rams season tickets, so we are a Rams family, like
right.
Because that's our team. And but you know, deep down inside, I've been a Bucs fan since like when you could sit shirtless watching the game in the old sombrero and spit tobacco on the floor. So like, I mean,
awesome.
Dude, those were if my dad went to church and I didn't go to church, he'd just name one buck that he just go, yeah, it's crazy. Doug Williams showed up to church today. I was like, what the fuck? He's like, yeah, that's why you never know, man. You got to go to church. It's like, can you believe that? Jimmy Giles came to church. I was like, shut the fuck up. Him and Leroy Salmon did what? Are you serious? Dewey was there.
And are you still like diehard Seminole? Like that? I mean, it sucks. I that's a school. I love college football. And I would put Florida State in the camp of like, that's a team I want to be good because it's just more fun.
So very complicated. When the Rolling Stone magazine article came out, the school disowned me, and they tried to fuck me. They tried to get me not to graduate from Florida State. The president at the time, not a great guy, not a fan. What's interesting is his daughter had been in Playboy, so you'd think he would empathize
right.
with a kid getting caught up by some national magazine. Did not. And they tried to get me to disavow me and get rid of me, and they failed me. I walked. I mean, tell me if this isn't some underhanded shit. I walked behind Warwick Dunn. So they named, and ladies and gentlemen, Warwick Dunn. The place goes fucking nuts, and the guy's like, Burt Kreischer. And so I'm in the shadow of Warwick Dunn. Doesn't matter. I fucking walked, right? And I sat next to Warwick Dunn the entire time.
Yeah.
In the whole fucking graduation. So I had this complicated past with Florida State where I was a diehard Seminole fan because I'd never sensed a civic pride. I grew up in Tampa. We didn't have that. Like, if you grew up in Boston, you were like, fucking Red Sox, bro. You know? New York, you're like, where in New York? Bronx? Okay. You know? And so I never had a civic pride. The first time I went to a Florida State game and saw them throw the spear in the Seminole head and it was on fire, I started crying. I mean, it was like the greatest. It was like, I'm now a part of a community.
Yeah.
Anyone who grows up in a town like Orlando or Tampa understands that when you go to a school like fucking University of Oregon, fucking Boulder, you know, one of these places, Nebraska, that you get a sense of community. So it was very complicated to me. I never went back to a game. I felt like a failure. I go back to do the Civic Center, this tour. I did the Civic Center. And I didn't even realize I was doing the Civic Center. It's an arena. It's 10,000 seats. And I sold it out, and I get there, and I wake up that morning hungover, and they have these huge signs, welcome home. I'm going to cry. I'm going to cry telling you this.
Do it.
They have these huge signs that says, welcome home, Birdie Boy. Ooh. I mean, to be field persona non grata at a school for 20-some-odd years, and then to have them welcome you back and be like, welcome home, Birdie Boy. And then I walked through the campus, and kids knew I was there, and they'd open their windows. They're like, I'm just walking them on Instagram stories, and they're like, welcome home, Birdie Boy. And I was like, the cops came up to me. Kids were getting in their car and finding me. And then I get right before the game, right before the show, and they come up. The administration comes up, and they give me a fucking spear. Wow. And they're like, hey, man, we want you to have this. And I'm like, oh, my God. I start crying. And I do the show. And I'm sitting there going, I saw Nirvana play here. I saw Smashing Pumpkins open for Nirvana in this Civic Center. I saw Bobcat Goldthwait here. I saw fucking Adam Sandler here. Like, and I'm doing what they're doing. And then they get done. And I fucking grab the spear, fully aware of my surroundings, and they're all doing the chant. I go grab the spear and I lead fucking 10,000 people in a chant with the fucking lights out and their camera phones, highlights on, and I get done and I'm just like, totally gonna get canceled for that. Does not fucking matter.
Yeah.
Does not fucking matter. One of the greatest moments of my life that I mean, to this day, I never wore Seminole shit. I would, but I always felt weird when I put it on because they didn't want me at the end.
Well, it's almost like you wanted to be a part of them, but they didn't want to be a part of you. So you felt like it's strange if you have it on because it's not like reciprocated from them.
Right. It's like fucking talking good about a chick that slept with someone else. And you're like, I don't want to talk good about her. Or like I just want to, and or said, I don't love you anymore, and please lose my number. And then you're like, how can I talk good about her? I mean, I still love her. Mm-hmm. And then when they welcomed me back like that, man, they got me forever.
That's
I
awesome.
Mean, it was one of the greatest experiences of this tour, but of my life. And the fucking coaches reached out, the fucking strength. I mean, everyone that worked there reached out, and they're like, hey, man, if you want this, if you want that, please come by. Please stop by. Bars, hit me up. Hey, we got a private room for you. The kids really overwhelmed me, that the kids knew who I went, what I was. Like, I'd be walking around, and they just opened their dorm windows. Dorms I lived in, they'd be like, the machine! And I'd be like, shut the f-. It was the greatest. It was the coolest moment of my adult life. So much that I was like, this Birdie Boy tour has been, this Relapse tour has been, I mean, I did Red Rocks. I did the fucking arena across from the Packers. Aaron Rodgers came over and said hi. All the Packers came backstage and fucking hung out. I mean, it's been overwhelming. It's been like, if I die in a bus accident, then know that I died a very fucking happy man.
It's awesome to have a moment like that too, because I feel like a lot of people do have highlights of their life that they have to get years past and look back on, but to recognize it as it's happening,
yeah,
that's good shit.
Dude, I was sobbing when they gave me that spear. Cause that spear, have you ever been to a Florida State game?
Yeah. I saw Notre Dame, Florida fucking, State, like 6-7 years ago at night. It was sick.
It's just so moving. And then what's crazy is, like, you know, everyone, your management and lawyers and agents are like, oh, you know, Donald Trump just got in trouble for doing the. I don't care. It was one of the greatest moments of my life, and I'm not, and I can't look. That doesn't mean that to me, or whatever it means to whatever. But what's crazy is the next week I was at the Seminole Hard Rock Casino, and a bunch of Seminoles, like legit birthright Seminoles, came back, and they're like, oh, I'm so glad you got the spear, that was so badass. And I was like, all right, we're good.
Yeah.
We're fucking good. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's everybody that is not involved in that conversation.
Right.
Yeah. It would be the people speaking. It would be white people speaking on behalf of Seminoles.
Right.
If a Seminole wants to come up to me and say something to me, I will definitely apologize, whatever. But if a fucking white woman's upset by it, I can't really.
How did they, how'd the original Rolling Stone article come to fruition? Did they hit you up, or they named Florida State like the best party school, right? And then they wanted to find the hardest partier.
So
how did you get connected?
The Princeton Review does this, finds the number one party school every year, right? They named Florida State, and then a bunch of places started trying to find kids to write about, and they did to a couple kids, and they were all shitty. They were all really shitty, right? But they didn't use their last name, so it was like, my buddy Derek Minner was in one, and he was like, they trashed me. I didn't know anything about this. I'm always oblivious to anything. And Rolling Stone called, and one day, and they were like, they'd called five different heads of organizations and said, can we hang out with one dude? Who would it be? I had partied with every single one of those guys the night before, and they thought it was me pranking them. So they were like, oh, it's Bert. So then he called me. Eric Pogue gave him my number. He called me, and I was in the middle of a bong hit. We were about to play disc golf. And he was like, he pitches this thing. My name's Eric Hedegaard. I want to do a story about Florida State. I'm looking for a chaperone, someone to take me around, someone who knows a lot about the school, not just one area. I mean, would you be available for a week in November? And I exhaled my bong hit, and I was like, yeah. And he goes, I'm sorry, are you doing a bong hit? And I took another bong hit, and I was like, yep. And he was like, you'll be perfect. And so he stayed with me for a week. But what's crazy is, like, now I think we all have an idea of what media is a little bit.
Yeah.
He was like, I want to stay with you. And I just did not shut up. I was an open book. I told him everything. I did everything. I brought him to class with me. He spent the night at my girlfriend's house. If we went out and day drank, he came with us. I mean, I did everything with this guy. And at the end, I just was like, I hope he mentions my name in the article. they go up, and they write the article about Florida State, and then Jan Werner, whatever his name is, reads it and is like, hey, man, I just want to know more about this kid. He seems like I took a shit on a pizza box to win an election. Like, I was a wild kid, obviously. So then they changed it, and they don't tell me. And so the day it comes out, April 1st, FedEx knocks on my door. My dad calls and he goes, what the fuck did you do? And I go, what do you mean? And he goes, I have news crews camped out in front of my fucking house. Did you kill someone? And the weekend before had been TPC, and I had gotten pretty fucked up in St. Augustine at the TPC. So I was like, fuck, I don't know. He gives me the fucking FedEx knocks on the door. I open it. I'm in boxers. I just woke up. I open it and I see the Rolling Stone magazine, and it was Beck on the cover. I thought it was me. I was like, I look amazing. But it's like the number one party animal something about that. And I open, I'm like the centerfold, and it's me in the fountain shirtless with a keg. And I was like, hey, Dad, I got to call you back. I think I'm in Rolling Stone. And I read the article. And I mean, like, I remember, you know, I'm an emotional guy. I'm not going to hide from that. But I cried when I read the fucking opening stupid thing of, it's taken Bert Kreischer 6.5 years to become the man he is, the number one partier at the number one party school in the nation. I was like, oh, someone finally understands me.
All my hard work.
All my hard work's paid off. I hope this turns into a career. It changed my life. It changed my life over fucking night. Dude, it was like fame, and it was so, that was when fame was like, you could not get fame.
Yeah, right. Did you have anybody come up to you and be like, hey, man, I saw that you were ranked number one partier at the school. My buddy parties way harder than you. And, like, introduce and try to, like, get his friend to show you how much harder they party than you?
The offensive line of the Florida State Seminoles was at Yanni's one night. And they're like, and I walked in, and they're fucking all there. And they're like, hey, we got to see it for real. And I was like, what? And they're like, line them up. Come on, frat boy. And so I sat with these dudes who were all younger than me, by the way. I was like fucking 25. They're fucking in their 20s, 19 years old. So I fucking murdered these dudes. I mean, I'm a fucking grown-up at the time. I should have been teaching their classes. And we just started putting back shots. And I was like, and this other thing is, like, for whatever reason, like, I don't show up places drunk. So whenever someone wants to, like, challenge me to a drinking off, it's always like, I've never had anything to drink. Like, there was this girl one time in Indianapolis who was like, we used to do this thing where if you went to the bar and you were topless, you got half off all your drinks. So I'll show you the pictures, but man, when I did clubs, we go to the bar and everyone would be topless. Girls, guys, everyone's topless and everyone's drinking because it's half off. And this girl was beautiful. I come upstairs, she's topless, and she's like, I'm going to outdrink the machine. And I was like, bitch, I haven't started drinking yet. I wouldn't do that. It had just started snowing. She's topless with a tremendous rack, right? Tremendous. And she goes, I'm going to drink you under the table. And this is back when I thought Fireball didn't count as a shot. So I go, line them up. So we get 9 shots of Fireball, and I just go, goosh, 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 goosh. And I'm like, all right, catch up with me. Next thing you know, she's getting carried out of the bar, still topless, and I run down, and they're getting ready to put her in a car. It's snowing. And I go, they got, like, her jacket on top of her, and I go, hey, are you okay? And she was like, I couldn't do it. And I said, you know why? She goes, why? I said, because I'm the fucking machine. Don't ever challenge me. Put her in the car. Get her the fuck out of here. I'll show you a picture of her. She's fucking hot as shit.
Oh, man.
People that would challenge somebody to a drinking contest are never sober when they do it.
Yeah,
you know?
They
see you, and they're like, okay, I'm a little bit drunk. I can do this. I can take this guy on. But if it was, maybe you could have been beat if somebody was, like, sober and came to the agreement with you ahead of time and scheduled it.
Yeah. Well, but also, they're never going to understand the place I've gotten to and I can get to where I can't catch the buzz back. And I'm just drinking to see if I can catch the buzz again. And you're just going, like, fuck, like on an airplane going, like, do you have anything stronger than fucking Heineken? Like, I just want to fucking restart the buzz, and I've still got fucking 13 hours till we get to London, you know? So, I don't, but I'm by, I right now I'm just trying to make sure I can live forever.
That's yeah.
All. Well,
yeah. I would just
forever. Pickle yeah. yourself. Yeah.
Like, I just, right now, my maintenance is live a lifestyle so that you can party, because I love the feeling when everyone's like, hey, you guys want a beer? Like, I love that energy. That energy.
Yeah.
It's like a first kiss.
Yeah.
It's like, and I don't get first kisses. I'm married and I'm faithful, right? So, like, I don't get first kisses. But, oh, I take that back. I was in a movie and I got to kiss my wife on the movie. It was different.
But I like that. Keeping yourself in shape so that you can keep partying forever.
Yeah. It's like, look at the fucking competitive eaters. Yobayashi, whatever his name is.
And Joey Chestnut.
They're not like, and then you go, oh, you just do this to get down.
Yeah.
I wish I could get into weed more. I'm not, I can only take a couple hits of weed and then I'm.
Yeah, we were actually just talking to Jimmy about this. Weed's too good.
It got way too good.
We need to bring back bad weed.
Yeah.
I got Jimmy buzzed. I got Jimmy fucked up a bunch. Did he show you the video?
No.
We go to this fucking bar. And, you know, Jimmy Tatros, who we're talking about, Jimmy is a quiet guy. In real life, he's a very quiet guy. He's a very shy guy. He's not like this, what you think of his character of being.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's pretty subdued. And so we get this access to this. It's I don't even know. It's like a fucking vaudeville where the girls take their clothes off and dance, and people come out in characters, and like all of a sudden the Joker will come out, and we get this private booth, and it's everyone in the movie, and they start bringing us fireworks and champagne, and I'm kind of having a good time, but I look over at Jimmy, and he is ear to ear smiling, and he's going, "This is the best night of my life." And I'll send you guys the video, and it is so, because he's just going like this, huh? And everyone's like throwing money at, they give you fake money to throw at everyone, and this fucking guy's dressed like the Joker, and he comes into our thing and sneaks on the catwalk and jumps off, and Jimmy's just ear to ear, "I fucking love Serbia." Yes. Yeah, I fucking partied with that guy a bunch.
Yes. All right, you got to run. I know you got another interview.
Oh yeah,
it's been incredible. Yeah.
By the way,
we'd love to have you back anytime.
Please, let me tell you something. I've been a fucking fan of you guys for a very long time. I take it as an honor to be offered to be on this show. So thank you very much.
And we gotta have Tom on too.
Tom's the one. Tom's the one you can talk to forever.
Yeah. Yes.
Anytime I'm the want, fucking we'll... lunatic. Tom's no. the good interview.
Yeah. No, anytime you want, you're back on.
Listen up, we've got some tea and you all are going to be obsessed. We spoke with the Abercrombie team and they told us that they were going to launch a wedding shop. Well, we lost it because, as you know, we are both getting ready to get Abercrombie and Hitched. The whole vibe of Abercrombie these days is clothes you'd wear for a perfect long weekend, and all their customers were like, "Hey, we spend long weekends traveling for weddings these days." And then Abercrombie was like, "We love that. Let us just give you everything you could ever possibly want and love to wear for all things wedding." So they did. It has everything. Tons of dresses, jumpsuits, pants, swimsuits, pajamas, pantsuits, and all perfectly curated for different events, bachelorettes, brunches, showers, ceremonies as a guest and ceremonies as a bride, reception, and even honeymoon. It is incredible. Check out the Abercrombie Wedding Shop on Abercrombie.com. Go shop it now.
Gonia style beanie.
Okay, we're going to wrap up the show with a little Monday reading story time. And it is brought to you by our friends at Roback. I have a Roback question for you. Hey guys, it's Big Cat and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1, every single fight will be a brand new brawler. And we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
We do have a Monday reading. We took this actually from within. This is from the Part of My Take DM account. It's from Part of My Take. Not sure who sent these, but they are sent to the Liver King, whoever that is. Maybe we can get some context. First message. Hey, Liver King, any interest in doing social collabs while you're in New York? That was not answered. And then it was followed up with, would love to have you come to the Barstool office, maybe even for an interview. We are the largest sports podcast and would love to host you at Barstool HQ. No answer. That was Tuesday at 4 o'clock, then Tuesday at 6 o'clock. He replied to a Liver King story who was in New York and said, that is right by the Barstool office. No answer. Then on Wednesday, he replied to another Liver King story and said, Liver King, would you like to come to the Barstool HQ today? It would be great for you to promote your supplements and do collabs with Barstool Sports. So that was from the Instagram. And then on TikTok, if you clicked into any Liver King's videos, here are some of the comments from all the TikToks he's posting.
This is like Jerry and TJ Watt. I love this.
Liver King, would you like to stop by the Barstool office? You're scared of Billy Football.
Oh, you went with that. I think that was like
memes.
That.
I think memes was trying to help him out by maybe switching up the
I like
by
that.
Getting aggressive.
Curveball. Yeah.
Billy, you did. Oh, I'm sorry. Whoever that was that happened to be sending the previous DMs
could have been anybody.
Was really, really giving the wet suck on that one.
Yeah. And then, this was a comment.
You got to neg him a little bit.
This might have been Jake with all the exclamation points. It said, Liver King, offer still stands! Exclamation point. Come to the Barstool office! Exclamation point.
I love the hustle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was more like, maybe Monday reading, we got to figure out within who did this or mm-hmm. like where mm-hmm. this was coming from. Cause usually we're kind of on the same page and we're trying to book guests. So seems like someone might have went rogue.
Well, I told Billy too before I wanted him to save his Liver King story, so this is a perfect time. You did tell us the whole background for people who don't. Who the fuck is Liver King?
Okay, so Liver King is a guy who lives on the Liver Ranch somewhere in Texas, I think. But he's in an ode to his early
ancestors.
Where does he
come? How do people know him? TikTok?
Yeah. He's a TikTok guy, Instagram guy, super jacked. He's on Fit Talk. Like
he looks
kind of
like a mix between Dallas Braden and Julian Edelman.
Right, exactly. He's a guy with a big beard, jacked. And basically his whole philosophy is he preaches sort of primal early human living and that we need to revert back and eliminate some of the stuff from the modern world that is making us weaker and not as we should be in the eyes of our early ancestors.
Like medicines.
Yes.
So like, and fully cooked meat.
Yes.
So yeah, he's got like it. Paleo on steroids.
Yeah, imagine
extreme.
Like,
but yeah, literally.
A paleo extremist.
He's paleo on steroids and also steroids.
Yes.
Yes. But okay. Basically... I saw he was in New York City, and you know I've been working on the Part of My Take TikTok. Go follow the Part of My Take TikTok if you can. Give some views, and that'd be much appreciated.
They can tell them.
Yeah, go follow.
Yeah,
Part of My
follow
Take
it
on TikTok.
Offer still stands to follow Part of My Take on TikTok.
Yes, yes. Please do that. So I was sort of left to roost in New York, and I was sort of looking for stuff to do. So I saw
you were roosting.
I was roosting.
You're sitting
all
on
all the
you're
other
roosting. Okay, yeah.
He was in New York City and he preaches about simulating hunts. So Liver King likes to simulate hunts and he simulates successful and unsuccessful hunts. Basically, he works out and he either eats after it if it's a successful hunt or he doesn't and does like a prolonged fasting period if he doesn't have a successful hunt.
So he's invented working out and then eating a meal.
Yes,
got
exactly.
It.
Deconstructed.
Exactly. And he has a bunch of other, he has 9 primal tenets, which hopefully if Liver King does come on the show, he'll tell us more about.
He seems like he's interested.
Yeah, can you see it? Can you give us a couple?
One of them is basically you can't sleep with any Wi-Fi or electricity in your room because it messes up your sleep waves. You have to sleep in total darkness and simulate the sun going down. A lot of weird stuff.
Sounds like a trip chamber. Yeah, mm-hmm. I like that.
And okay. A lot of it is based off of eating nose to tail, basically a lot of animal organ meat.
Okay. And he makes his, I saw a couple
awful.
Clips, he like makes his kids eat this shit.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, you know, he preaches working out. So basically I decided to do a simulated hunt of the simulated hunter.
Right.
Liver King. So Liver King's in the city. I was bouncing around looking for him. You know, he'd post somewhere and then he'd, you know, leave. And it was sort of a little cat and mouse game through. So I had some time on my hands. So I simulated hunted Liver King. So I finally caught up to Liver King on Friday. It was about 4 days of a simulated hunt. I did a simulated fast. As if I was hunting the whole
wait,
time.
Wait. What's a simulated fast?
Well,
just pretended to not eat?
Exactly.
Okay. I simulate fast all the time.
Just as like the early ancestors wanted.
Yep.
So I finally found Liver King. He was sort of having a gathering for a push-up contest.
As one does.
Whoever could have a... But basically, it was really kind of... You know, I think it's really funny. Like, but there was guys who showed up at this push-up contest who were hardcore Liver King, following all the ancestral primal 9
Wait,
tenets.
So you're not you. Yeah. So you're not even close to like a top 10% Liver King fan.
No, I'm like there are people farther into Liver King. It was kind
you're
of
like
ridiculous.
A normie fan of him. You're not like an OG.
Yeah, I'm
yeah,
just
name three of his albums.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
So you just know his hits.
So I show up there just like to talk to Liver King, you know, try to basically I want to do TikTok collabs with him, you know, build the TikTok. It would have been great for both of our socials. But then it basically was like he got mobbed. There was serious primals, as he calls them, all around him, and they're all doing push-ups.
Wait, what are serious primals?
Well, he calls his followers primals.
Yeah, that's pretty
that's
cool.
That's smart. That's really, we should have done that instead of AWL.
That's pretty cool.
All so, you primals out there.
What's up, primals? Liver yeah. King here. So, wait, is he the Liver King? He's not called the Liver King because he has, like, a really giant liver or anything.
No, because liver is king. Basically, he believes that liver is, you know, organ meat is something that we don't consume in our regular day life, and it's going to make you jacked.
I only worship one Liver King. That's John Daly, now and forever. So wait, so
we got to get him on.
He was doing a push-up contest.
Yeah,
and he invited you to participate in it. Right? He
right.
was like, if anyone can do 100 push-ups, I'll give you $100. And Billy was like, you know what? I'm going to show out for Liver King, and I'll impress him with how strong I am. So we'll come on the show.
No,
so then you got up there and you did how many? You did 100.
I didn't do 100 push-ups.
Oh, so Billy's 0-3 no. on challenge.
No,
Billy
I did chest never... day the day before. I got 75. Took a rest.
Hate it when that happens.
God.
I did a rest, and then
but
I.
But you
got
knew
the rest
Liver King was in town.
I didn't know he'd have a push-up contest on Friday.
What did you think was going to happen with Liver King? Like,
well,
he worked out.
I didn't know it happened. You know, chest day was on Thursday. Friday.
Can't change chest day.
Can't change chest day. You know,
I just hope Billy never wins a contest ever.
Billy, what? I have one question about Liver King. I saw some pictures. Kind of a short dude.
Well, you see, he didn't go through the agricultural revolution, so he's still the size of the early ancestors.
So he's tall for his era.
He's tall for his era. Yeah,
got it.
He's,
okay.
It was honestly
that's what you need to do. PFT.
I'm from a different
start
era.
Start saying that you're actually
you didn't go through the agricultural revolution.
Yeah. Wait. How tall is he? Is he shorter than me?
He looks
short.
Honestly, it's kind of crazy. There's like almost like a Christ allegory. It's like he is the body. He's the embodiment. No, he's the embodiment of the early ancestors on Earth. And he gives sacrament as pieces of liver. So after everyone did the push-ups, which was like prayer, he started giving out liver, like for everyone to eat. I was like,
"Did you eat some?"
Yeah, I did eat some. So it was 26 degrees when this all happened. So the liver was frozen at this point. And also our hands had just gotten off the floor of Times Square. And we were all just barehanded eating liver. Probably definitely built up the immune system doing that.
Yep.
But the liver definitely
powered
it through.
If he's from a different time, wouldn't he die from being around other people?
Well, I that's a good question.
No, because his immune system is kicked into high gear by living as our ancestors did.
Exactly.
So I think he's healthier to begin with.
Yeah, so
but that didn't really work for Native Americans.
We're probably going to die being around him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you get to speak to him?
Yes, I spoke to him.
Did he speak English?
He did speak English.
Did he speak? I would imagine he speaks some kind of liver language that we can't understand.
Just grunts?
Yeah. There was a lot of grunting. But he was a pretty cool dude. I talked to some of his people, and he's going to be doing a podcast tour soon. So hopefully
he comes on
the
podcast. Of course he is. So how is that? Now, Liver King's got a media agent?
Yes.
That doesn't seem very...
And security guards.
Well, the big plot hole in all this is Liver King lives as our ancestors did tens of thousands of years ago on TikTok.
Yeah, yes. Right.
But
right.
By mastering the algorithms as agent. Our ancestors did.
He's got the same agent as Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah,
but yeah, we should get him on the show. I would love to interview Liver King. The guy is fascinating to me.
He's
Why
just
not?
An interesting guy. The fact that he lives that kind of lifestyle, you know, it's just interesting.
Now, Billy, when you were DMing him, did you stop to think for just like a second? And like, maybe I should stop DMing this guy after the fifth time he didn't respond to me.
Well, he probably doesn't check his phone a lot.
I think that's great hustle. If it's a passion, like obviously you can't do it to everyone.
Right.
But Liver King, I'm going to make an exception. I think that's, you know, you're allowed to harass Liver King in the DMs. All right. So Johnny Davis is actually really hurt. I don't know what happened to him. This is bad, Jake. Have you found anything, Jake? I feel like you stopped looking.
No, I've been looking. I haven't seen anything. I just don't want to misreport.
No, he's very, very hurt. This is all brutal.
On his own power.
Billy, you know that you're on one of Liver King's TikToks.
Yeah, I know.
You're in the background. And these are all the primals that came out to see
him. Those are the primals. Yeah, I stopped.
These are some primal men.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of...
It looks like prison, honestly.
Oh, no, but this is what happened. They were doing the $100... He started getting $100 to anyone who can do 100 push-ups. Then all these guys started coming out of the woodwork. He's like, I can do 100 push-ups. And they just like... Non-primals were doing 100 push-ups for $100.
The best part
Not
is
with
that...
with lower body injury. It's very vague.
The best part is when the push-up contest starts, Billy is just like looking around at all the bros trying to go faster than everybody. You like turn into like a little contest to see if you could outwork him. I love it, Billy.
I gotta get pumping.
There was a lot of primals.
These guys probably did chest day the day before too, but they're still going.
I know. Once I saw all these dudes started to take their shirts off, and then I was like, okay, you know what? I'm gonna keep my shirt on. It's getting a little too primal.
Yeah, Billy would hate that, hanging out with a bunch of shirtless bros.
All right. Well, good job, Billy. I love it. Hopefully, we get Liver King on. Would you say he's your top of your list of guests you want?
He's up there. He was attainable. He came to the city.
Right. Well, clearly not that attainable. Because
well, he had to hop on the plane. He like was leaving right
that's
after
what
that.
They, that's what they all say.
Had to hop.
Let me guess. He just had a flight like an hour from now.
Yeah. In 2 hours. Oh.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
I mean, it's.
Oh wow.
Pretty easy. I saw him walking around Brooklyn yesterday.
Yesterday?
No, I'm just kidding. That would have broken your heart.
Like, fuck.
I got lied to. Why, Liver King?
Liver King shouldn't take planes, by the way.
No, he should.
That's illegal. That should be illegal.
Like, grab a bird.
Yeah, that should absolutely be illegal. Liver King, no planes.
See him running in the tunnel.
You can see him running in the tunnel?
There's a video on the broadcast, or someone videoed him running in the tunnel. I don't know what that means.
All right. Well, I guess we'll find it. We'll have more on Wednesday, but this could have.
Dr. PFT has diagnosed it as a facial / head / neck injury.
Okay. This would be just like I was having such a great college basketball week, and then just can never have nice things. And just a quick shout out to everyone who's like, I can't wait till Wisconsin loses in the tournament. Yeah, they will. I don't care. You can fucking dance on my grave.
99, 67 yeah, of
you'll have 68. You'll have your party. I did, on my grave.
I did put a future on Wisconsin.
There we
in
go.
In solidarity, PFT. Got a future on Wisconsin.
Have one too.
Yeah.
Future on
Thank
Duke.
You, Hank.
In solidarity
you made me
with
after
Hank.
The Hungry Dog, but
yeah.
And
have it.
Kansas, and there was one other that I got talked into.
Arkansas,
Auburn,
Arkansas, must yep. bus. Almost came back and won that game.
I have Auburn, Wisconsin, and Duke.
Okay,
those are my teams.
This is March, baby. Great fucking time of the year. We got some good interviews coming up with some coaches, players, all kinds of stuff for March.
Analysts.
What?
Analysts.
Titus isn't really an analyst.
No, he's not.
Right.
But someone else is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Again, Titus is not our A-lister. Just want to make sure that's clear. Because people are like getting excited.
He's an A-lister in my book.
He's an A-lister in, yeah. It's like
it's a very long.
It's hard to
book.
Put him on the Mount Rushmore guests and then not call him an A-lister.
Well, he's you know, yeah, sure. I'm just kidding. I fucking love him. He is an A-lister. He's number one in he's number what number did he wear?
I don't know. I don't think he ever took his jacket off.
Yeah, that's true. He's number
Trillion.
Zero in your playbook in your program. Number one in your heart. That's Mark Titus.
34.
34. I'm very excited for when Mark Titus. I think he wore that for Shaq.
I mean, 51.
Shout out Shaq. 50
I'm taking
years
34
old.
For Mark.
Another weird thing that Darren Revell owns. Shaq's Six. Student
25.
ID.
25.
That was his freshman
Revell
student
ate the trash
ID.
So hard last night.
Oh, yeah.
What
Revell,
did he do? Tell me.
He said the Lakers right now are the seventh seed, and they're, 42-30 on
yeah,
the season?
Yeah, he said someone just placed a like, $50,000 bet on the Lakers to win the championship. They're currently 42-31.
Which is not true.
It's not true at all.
Yeah.
Well, what happened was he Googled what the Lakers' record was. And at this time last year, I think, they were like 42.
Oh, that's awesome.
Or maybe that was their total.
That's just one where I don't know how you can type, like, how, like.
Yeah, how can you do that?
How do you
follow? How do you even, like, remotely follow sports and think the Lakers are 10 games over 500?
Right.
All right. 22.
34.
51.
69.
25.
Oh, Brad, what are you doing with that shot? 76.
Uh-oh. New number.
Oh, new number, and Scoring also not good after we talked about the Eastern Conference, Hank.
Love
Don't
you guys.
Mean anything?
So corgis have a dominant gene that makes their legs short. So if you look up corgi mixes, they all have tiny legs like corgis.
Love you guys.
Gone me. Take learn life is okay. Say out to me, it's no better to be safe than sorry. Say out to me, it's no better to be safe than sorry. Take on me.
Pardon my take, presented by Barstool Sports.